3636. Please turn your radio down and no calls to play the name game. No who would you do call. No calls about rating women. No calls asking when are we coming to your town. And no jokes. That's 1-877-365-3636.
Sit down, Danny. Sit down, Danny. Sit down, Danny.
Day when I get to say, ladies and gentlemen, stadium announcer Philip J. Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
SPF, my brother. In Mrs. Howard Johnson's room 307 and all the ships at sea. Just a couple of hard-working white guys,
buddy.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Thank you, Robbie. And,
hello, and thank you for listening.
Don and Mike show, and it's Tuesday.
Yay!
Tuesday, April 11th.
Ah, it's a good day.
That's the day. Our toll-free telephone number, same as it was yesterday, 1-877-365-3636. Let's get right to the show. I have lots of stuff to talk about in the opening segment. We have a couple of sex quizzes today.
Okay. New ones?
Yep. Well, no, with new people.
Ah, that's even better.
You know Beth, the fiery redhead that works on the show now?
Yes.
And also Lisa, the nympho?
Yes.
Both of those girls will be coming in today to take a sex quiz.
Excellent.
Good. You know, we've rapidly gone from a show that is very testosterone-ridden.
Uh-huh.
We haven't had a girl work on this show for 2 or 3 years, and all of a sudden...
We're surrounded by broads.
Cunnyland.
Yes. Great.
I mean, welcome to Cunnyland. You've got Toya, now you've got Beth, you've got Lisa. Today, the support staff in the other room, 3 women.
All women.
Right.
Well, where's Broyhill?
Make that 4 women. 4 women working behind the scenes on this show.
Good.
Okay, so listen, before we get to all of the stuff on today's show, we'll have an exclusive with Leonardo DiCaprio and Bill Clinton about Earth Day later in today's show.
Cool. Yeah, we got some interesting stuff happening about it.
But first, I read this in the newspaper today. I was sad to read this, that The Sopranos will not be back on until next March.
Or April.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Because they live to piss us off.
You know, there's so much going on lately that's just like, why?
I know. I don't know. I just report the news as I read it to you in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Next, and I hope some people from Green Bay call us with this. I thought that the pictures on SportsCenter of Mark Chmura wearing the orange prisoner jumpsuit.
Mm. Serious stuff here.
Bordered on Sublime.
Yeah.
And as he was walking out of the police station in the handcuffs,
yeah,
there were actually Packer fans with the big foam "We're number one" finger.
Gotta love those Packer fans.
Standing in front of the courtroom.
How jive is that?
Wow.
How do you think that made him feel? Do you think it made him want to puke?
And the latest is that the cops went into his house and confiscated his underpants.
Yes. Oh, my God.
You know, to get the DNA, to get any jizz samples.
Oh, my God.
And also to get, like, some of his pubes and stuff out of his underpants.
He was
reportedly wearing some white boxers and a heavy towel at the time of the alleged assault. And among the things the police confiscated were the vacuum cleaner bags from the vacuum cleaner that was used to clean up the bathroom afterward.
You know, to get any samples and
right.
stuff.
Oh, that is incredible.
Yeah. But the funniest thing is, it's either going in or coming out of court when they've got him, and he's wearing, you know, the prisoner suit, the orange suit.
The jumpsuit, right?
And he's handcuffed, and there are these morons just waving these big foam "We're number one" fingers.
To show him support?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. Uh-huh.
Yeah, hey, dear, because we love you, dear Chewy.
Yeah, way to go, dear. But, you know, let's not get to facts here. Let's just go out, because he's a Packer.
Now, his new nickname has to be American Beauty.
American Beauty, because similar plot lines there with the babysitter and all that.
Got to do, though, is figure out, I can't remember for the life of me what Kevin Spacey's character's name was.
The character that threw the plate of food against the wall.
In the movie American Beauty. Whoever that is, that's got to be Mark Chmura's new nickname.
American Beauty, I think, says it all. I mean, because, you know, the character that Kevin Spacey played, even though he won the Oscar, not a well-known name of a character. The movie, though, very well-known. So, you know, Mark Chmura, American Beauty.
Or we could call him Roman Polanski, but it's been such a long time since Roman Polanski boned that teenage girl.
Yeah, I saw a replay of that over the weekend. I don't know what I was watching, but they were doing a rehash of the Roman Polanski thing. Right. And, you know, was it last year at the Oscars that they were giving Roman Polanski an award? Where they, and there was that the big controversy?
No, it was some other bad guy they were giving an award to, right?
Right, having to do with the blacklist. But there has been talk of giving him some kind of European award this year. Okay. There's also been talk of him wanting to move back to this country. And it doesn't look like any of that's going to happen.
The guy last year was the guy that had ratted people out as being communist.
Blacklist.
All right. Now all the names are coming up. Of course, well, Rob just wrote down Jerry Lee Shimura.
Jerry Lee Shimura.
I said Jerry Lee!
Back here, they take a different view of these things.
And you could call him Woody Allen Shimura, but
Woody
then again,
Allen Shimura.
The girl wasn't his daughter.
Absolutely.
Although she was old enough to be his daughter.
Pretty weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, hey, Packer fans, want to talk about that. Want to tell you about this one.
This is wacky.
I got a call today. You know, I network with DJs, with my disc jockey brethren all over the country. Many of them...
The Skulls.
Many of them who do shows. They used to be Morning Zoos, but now they've changed the name generally to Nut Hut.
Yeah.
It's generally like, you know, Joe Blow and the Nut Hut.
The Nut Hut.
So I talked to these guys because, you know, I'm a radio guy, and I like keeping in touch. And I got a call from a friend of mine in Cincinnati. And you know how disc jockeys... Even worse than lawyers, I think, as far as eating their own.
Oh, absolutely.
When someone in the radio business F something up.
Yes.
The word gets around immediately.
Oh, it's a feeding frenzy. We love to see each other. Comedians are the same way.
Nobody enjoys it more than disc jockeys.
Right.
So I'm sitting around this morning, get a call about 9 o'clock, and I see caller ID, and I don't recognize the city. I don't know where it's coming from. So I'm very careful. I pick up the phone. Hello? And right away, because I hear the tellos, it's a guy calling me through a telephone. Goes, hey, Don! Hey, is this Don? And I go, yes. Hey, this is... I don't want to say the guy's name. He's a friend of mine. We're at Q102 in Cincinnati.
Right.
I said, are we on the air? He said, no, I'm playing a record right now, but I got to tell you what happened to Jimmy Fox. I said, all right. Now, first off, we hate this guy Jimmy Fox.
Okay, who's Jimmy Fox?
Jimmy Fox is a prick who was my program director for a while in Pittsburgh. And we hated him because he was a program director.
Of course, that's natural. You can be a very nice guy, but if you become a program director, you're automatically hated in this
business. He was a program director who was a disc jockey, meaning that he would have critique sessions.
It's the worst kind of program director.
He would call us in, and he would say, oh, now listen, man, you can't talk all over every single record. And one thought per break, you got to say the call letters first and say the call letters last. Then he would get on the radio himself for his grueling one-hour shift that he did every day, and he would break every goddamn rule that he would scream to us about.
PDs that are on the air, program directors that do an air shift, they are the worst.
And the best reason to hate him was the way he spelled his name. J-I-M-I. It's Jimmy.
Was the Fox with two X's?
Yeah, Jimmy Fox with you.
Yeah.
Of course, not his real name.
Of course.
J-I-M-I-F-O-X-X. Right. So he called him and he says, have you heard about Jimmy Fox? And I said, no, what's the latest? And he says, this is the story. This guy, Jimmy Fox, went on an internet chat site.
Okay.
And he was talking to who he believed to be a 14-year-old girl.
Oh, my God.
And he's typing messages back and forth, and he, you know, tells her that he's the famous Jimmy Fox from B1 or whatever it is, radio in Cincinnati. And then she says, would you dedicate some songs to me on your show? So apparently over the next 3 or 4 days, every once in a while, this guy gets on the air and goes, hey, yeah, B101, I want to play this one for Nancy Fagan or whatever her name is, and he plays a song for her.
Oh, my God. And then, you get on the in this day and age, if you're in a chat group and somebody says they're 14 years old, sign off.
Run. Okay, so he goes through this with her for about a week, and then he wants to meet her. Wait a minute. They set up a meeting.
Uh-huh.
And he shows up on Saturday night, and he has a 12-pack of beer and condoms. And guess who's waiting for him? The Cincinnati police.
Oh, my God.
All along, it had been a scam.
Oh, man.
That the cops were working, where the cops would go on these chat sites.
Jimmy pedophiles.
Yes.
And wow.
So that's, you know, I got that story in like 30 seconds. And then my friend says, hey, hold on a second. I got to do a break. And he just got done telling me this awful thing that's happened to this the acquaintance we knew.
Right.
And I hear in the background, hey, Q102, good morning. Hey, Ken Griffin Jr. hit number 400. That's fantastic. Good day to wake up in Cincinnati. It's 8:03 on the Nut Hut.
And then the microphone goes off and he goes back and he goes,
Man, do you believe that about effing Jimmy Fox?
Oh, God.
Is that fantastic?
Now, when you remembered this guy, do you think he had that kind of behavior in him? Was he the kind of guy that you thought would go home and and hop on the... He didn't strike you as that kind of guy.
No, but I knew him so long ago.
Right.
You know, it's a whole new world now.
I just saw one of those news magazines where they're doing that all over the place now.
Parents.
Where they're getting these guys and they're setting up stings. Somebody from right around here in Washington, D.C.
On the front page of the Post yesterday, there's a mother who spends all of her time just going on these websites trying to grab these pedophiles.
That's fantastic.
In Maryland, moms are making up for the shortage in manpower at the police department.
Good for them.
And they're acting as undercover agents on the net.
Bravo. And then, we act as like a phone chain, where then as soon as I got the information,
right,
I went up to my Palm Pilot and I found the name of another acquaintance, a guy who works in Philadelphia.
Yeah, sure.
I called him up. And I'm sure that, he called the guy out in Phoenix. And, by now, the disc jockey network across America knows that.
Now, where's this guy? Where did all this happen? What town?
Cincinnati.
Oh, so it's in Cincinnati that this happened.
In Cincinnati.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, baby. Hey, I want to play this song right now for Nancy Fagan. Beautiful young girl that I've been talking to on the Internet. Here's Britney Spears. I'm crazy for you.
12-pack of beer in the box of condoms.
Wow.
Jesus H. Christ.
Jesus H. Christ.
What a weird world we live in.
Okay, also, all of these topics we're willing to discuss on today's show with you.
Yes.
Disc jockeys who pick up supposed teenage girls on the internet. Uh-huh. Mark Chamora still waiting for some of you Packer backers to check in on that. But listen, here's the really weird one. Not along the sexual lines of the other two. There were some guys delivering some chairs to our house today. And the truck pulls up and the guys bring the chairs in. And my wife says, you go up and get some money. Because, whenever somebody comes over to the house to do something, you light them up. You always tip.
Mm-hmm.
We always tip anyway. And
you're good about that. I think you're better than most about that. You say you always tip. You know, many times you've discussed people that you give a tip to, and I have felt that perhaps I was remiss in my, that went as far as the mailman. I only started tipping my mailman like 2 years ago.
Well, now, we didn't tip the limo driver in Wichita, so I don't want to make it out like I'm this, fantastic guy who tips everybody.
We tip on the road. We both tip on the road. We didn't tip the limo driver in Wichita because we had a problem.
Because he was a dick.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys came over, and they brought the chair in, and my wife said, well, how much should we tip him? And I said, I'll go give him $20. And they brought two chairs in, and they had to do
$20 each?
No, $20 to share between them, because they had to move a couch out of one room and then move these chairs into the other. And I gave the guys the money, and they were happy, and they said thanks. And by this time, they had moved the chairs into the wall, into the room of the house, on the wall that is basically the shrine to me.
Mm-hmm.
The one room in the house where I have like all the gold records and all the disc jockey crap up on the walls.
Right.
So it's obvious that these guys were looking, and now I see them noodling this through, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm glad I let these guys up, because now these guys will go out and they won't say that they came to a disc jockey's house and didn't give them any money.
Exactly.
So they said to me, hey, thank you. Said, you'd be surprised how many people don't tip us when we deliver furniture. And I said, well, I'll go out of my way to tip. And then the guy says to me, the guy that was moving the furniture says, we appreciate it. However, you should know what happened at, and damn, I don't remember if he said it was at McDonald's, a Hardee's, or a Burger King, but he said that they had gone in for lunch yesterday at one of those fast food places, and the guy behind the counter, they ate inside.
Mm-hmm.
The guy behind the counter, when he gave them the change back, said, are you going to tip me? And these guys...
What, at McDonald's?
No. These guys told me that they looked at him like he was crazy,
uh-huh.
And the guy said to them, the guy behind the counter at whatever this fast food place was, this pimply-faced kid said, people in Starbucks get tips, cab drivers get tips, if Domino's brings a pizza to your house...
Oh, that's true,
You tip them.
Well, pizza's different than a fast food place.
Well, the guy's thought was that because they tip at Starbucks, he should be tipped also. And I said, well, that's absolutely ridiculous. And he said, well,
that's some kid that just had that in his own mind. That doesn't happen.
That was my question.
There's no way that happened. There's absolutely no way that a large number of people tip at a McDonald's. We have to use McDonald's as the example.
Okay.
All right, because, that's the fact. There can be McDonald's, Burger King, that type of place.
Right.
Okay? There's no way you tip at a place like that.
I didn't think so either.
I don't know anybody that's ever
tipped. And these guys said, I said, well, didn't they have like a jug? When you go to Starbucks, they have a usually a big, like a, you know how you have a big penny thing at home, a big jug you put your pennies in at the end of the day. They had a big glass container like that. It says on the front tips when you go into Starbucks. And I said, well, did they have that at this McDonald's? They said no. And they sat there and they saw, and I don't want to say McDonald's because I don't know for sure it was McDonald's, but they said they saw this guy and a couple other people in the half hour they were sitting there. Everyone that came up, they said, were you happy with the service, how quickly you got your food? Yes. Well, you can tip me. And they said, three or four people said, yeah, keep it. It was like 50 cents back, and they said,
well,
keep
it. Well, first of all, no, you know, in the big rule of tipping, you do not ask for a tip.
Right.
No. You don't say, you can tip me. This had to be some kind of scam.
I don't know.
And you only tip if somebody provides a service, like bringing your food to you. If you have to carry your own food, that's not something you tip for.
Yeah, well, but even if they're right, the only time they bring you your food at a fast food place, if you're in a drive-thru window, and they get backed up and they say, pull your car ahead, I don't tip then.
No, that's also true.
But at Starbucks...
Now, you're the Starbucks guy.
I go to Starbucks all the time, and they do have a big tip jar there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go in and you pay your ridiculous $3.50 for a goddamn 40-cent cup of coffee...
You know what kind of tipping I hate?
If I give them $4, I just take the change and put it in the tip jar.
I hate the car wash tipping. Because the car wash tipping, I believe when you tip, you should get immediate credit for it. And if you're not... If those guys that are out there slaving away, working on the car, if they don't see you putting the money into the big box or the jar or whatever, you're not getting credit for the tip,
right?
But you know what you still can do if you really, especially if you really want the car to look good, and if you're doing the extra thing where you get the car a little detail, you know, you say 30 minutes or less, or you do that thing on the side, then you light them up individually.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that works.
Have you ever done this at a car wash?
I've done this.
You have like a piece of scrap paper in your pocket, because I always have post-it notes and stuff in my pocket. I'm constantly writing myself notes.
You put it in the tip jar?
I'll go over and stand to it, because they have that big sign that says tips to be shared by all. It's
a community tip thing.
It's a wooden box that has a big old-ass padlock on it.
And sometimes like the money is just crammed right up to the top.
Yeah. And I would just walk up with a post-it note and fold it up and make sure that they're all looking at me.
Right.
And I push it right in the slot, like, here I am, taking care of you, lighting you up.
They think you're putting a $5 bill in.
I put every car wash receipt that I've ever gotten in the tip box.
Every time.
Because they hand you the receipt and you walk outside, and I just put the receipt in.
You've never left a cash tip?
No, I don't believe I have. I've already paid for my service.
That's a shocker.
You think? On occasion, if I'm pissed, that's when I'll just leave a post-it note.
Right.
Because generally I will put a dollar or so in the tip thing at a car wash, because you look there, there's eight illegal aliens who are out there cleaning your car, and you think, boy, you split that eight way. You know that they're not making any real salary. You know they're making, like, prison wages, like 50 cents an hour out there. So they got to split this $1 tip, you know, 10 different ways, meaning each of them gets a dime.
I tipped a guy
for each of the cars that they're washing.
I had one of those days where they were doing the extra interior work, and so they had to pull the car over to the side, and they had one guy working on it, and I lit him up.
Sure.
And that's the best car wash I've ever gotten. That was that car, you could have eaten off the floor of that car when he got done with it. It was great.
Robbie?
Yeah?
You got to hit that button, buddy. I'm sitting here thinking nobody's listening to us today.
Oh. That would explain.
I'm sitting here wondering, how come I don't see any phone lines lining up? You didn't hit the button, you big dummy.
Sorry.
You got to hit that button first thing, Rob.
Okay.
He had the button up. The button goes in three different directions, so it either takes calls for the Liddy show or for our show or for the Junkie show.
How does that work?
Right here. This button right here.
I can't see it.
See that one?
No. I'd have to stand up to see it.
Well, I'm wondering, forget that button.
That's going to happen.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Just be in the dark for another 5 years.
Hello.
I was just going to say, that's bull, man. I tipped somebody at a McDonald's once, or tried to, because they got my order right, and they rarely ever do.
Right. What? That's ludicrous.
And the guy said that he couldn't accept the tip.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
All right, well, I'm just telling you what these guys who delivered my furniture told me that they had yesterday.
I think furniture guys, you know, guys that are working their ass off and bringing furniture into your house, I think it's good to tip them, you know. And if you want something else moved, you know, sometimes you got them there. You know, you really light them up and you can get something else done.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm wondering what all is the Mark Jamur story about. I was hoping I could ask that question on the air.
Buy a newspaper.
Oh, come on, please. Please, come on.
Goodbye.
What all's...
What all is that Mark Chimura's stories about?
I could spend time and run circles around and explain it to you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I like the Seinfeld episode where George Costanza had like a 10 and he was putting that in a tip jar. And then the counter person turned around as he was taking out change.
All right, thank you.
That's George.
Hello, Hassan.
Yo, what's up, Big Don?
Hey, Hassan, buddy.
Hey, yo, y'all ever been to Ben's Chili Bowl?
Ben's Chili Bowl? I don't think so.
U Street downtown?
No, in D.C.?
Yeah.
No, it sounds good, though. Ben's Chili Bowl. Sounds like the runs.
They tell you that in order to get, well, they say tipping is encouraged for prompt service. And it's just like a regular, it's just like a McDonald's. I mean, that's ridiculous.
See, if I go into a place like that and it says tipping is encouraged, I tip because I read that sign to say, tip or we're going to loogie in your food.
Yeah, tip is required.
Right. Tipping is encouraged. Mm-hmm. That means, you know, tip or you're going to taste something salty in your sandwich.
Absolutely.
No, they just ghetto. That's their problem. But, you know, it's all good.
All right. So thank you, my
tipping
friend.
Is
all
encouraged. Right. That's you. Different, though. I mean, it's different than if I'm you're in a standard fast
these
food
These guys
place.
Told me that this pimply-faced kid asked them for a tip.
Was it a McDonald's or was it
I don't know. Okay. I don't remember which it was. Hello, Brandon.
Yeah, tipping at McDonald's is ridiculous. Best thing to do is, first of all, not tip. Second of all, I just got back from McDonald's. Best thing to do, go in with no money and be like, yeah, I came in the other day and got the totally wrong order. They said they'd write my name down and hook me up with a free meal, and they're like, well, I don't see it. You're like, well, are you calling me a liar? You know, and you go ahead and get the free food anyway. That's the best bet.
Are you telling the truth? Did that really happen to you?
I know, this is a McDonald's bag. I'm sitting in my car right now.
I know people who do that all the time.
That's great.
Swear to God.
Don't you know any people who, I know someone who works in this building who told me that every time he goes to drive-thru at the McDonald's right down the street, when he goes through, he comes back around a second time and says, hey, I ordered 2 quarter pounders and you didn't give them to me. And they just go, okay. I say, just
give
them, give him 2 more.
Do you know how many people are going to be doing that today?
Well,
we have just been responsible for a run on burgers that will be seen from miles away.
Hello, Eric.
Lay of the land, my boy.
Eric.
I was at Burger King just the other day, and the guy at the counter said,
see, you didn't disappoint me that time. You laughed at the other.
Well, George.
Yeah, I don't know how to follow that guy, but it may not be as Tommy, but is Mark Chimura the Joe Piscopo of the NFL?
Did Joe Piscopo do something like that?
Oh, yeah, he married the babysitter.
He did?
Yeah, divorced his wife and married his babysitter.
Yeah, Joe Piscopo is such a loser.
But was the babysitter under 18 when he married her?
I think he met her when she was 18.
Because there's a lot of celebrities. I mean, Robin Williams is a guy who ended up dumping his wife and marrying the nanny or the babysitter. I think Chevy Chase might have done that also. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch. Kevin Costner might have done that.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of Hollywood types that do that.
If only they raped him before, though.
What?
I don't know if they raped him before.
Okay, Bobby Knight, thank you very much for that joke.
Well, no, I think he was talking about Chimura, that it's alleged that Chimura forced himself on this girl.
That's why the police went in there and vacuumed his floor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For all the geesh.
Hello, Donna Mike Joe.
Hello, good afternoon.
What kind of a vacuum cleaner?
I went into a store one day and there was a sign there that said tipping is not a city in China.
That's the one where I wouldn't leave a tip if they had that sign.
What kind of a vacuum?
You know, I knew it was not a city in China either, but the service didn't deserve a tip anyway.
Well, okay, thank you. What kind of a vacuum cleaner do you use to get jizz?
Well, a regular vacuum cleaner, and if it's dried, it goes right into the bag.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't go right into the bag. I mean, like a regular, like if Chimura was trying to do that.
I don't think the cops went in with a dirt devil.
No, but actually what they were looking for were hairs and other fibers that would.
It's probably fibers
tie people to crime.
Yeah, yeah, but there might be some jizz.
There could be.
You know, I would think, would they take apart the vacuum cleaner then if they saw, you know, a splotch, what do you call that, a dollop.
I don't know, you know. I mean, it does dry, obviously.
Just a dollop.
That's so gross.
Hello, JD.
Yeah. Hey, man, I was just watching CNN below while listening to you guys.
Yeah.
And the little tags they run, the storylines at the bottom.
Yeah.
And they just showed Cincinnati disc jockey sentenced for internet sex today.
Okay, well, then the story's made its way to CNN.
All right. Yeah. Fantastic.
Later.
Jimmy Fox.
Jimmy Fox, man.
I'm the Fox man.
Jimmy Fox. Hey, Fox in the box.
Woo!
That was his big thing. Fox box.
I guess he was trying that.
Hello, Chris.
Don, Mike, Buzz, greetings.
Buddy.
Since this fellow got in trouble in Cincinnati, home of the mighty KRP, which WKRP character do you think would also find themselves in a
Nessman
situation?
Les Nessman.
Absolutely.
Les Nessman would be the one that would be
no, he liked
on the internet.
Boys. He'd like boys, though. He'd be like in a NSYNC chat group or something.
I think it'd be Gary Sandy.
Oh, the PD?
It'd be the PD.
No, I think it would be, who's the sales guy? Herb Tarlick.
Herb Tarlick.
Or, of course, the obvious, it could be Johnny Fever.
Well, let's be honest, it could be anybody on that show.
Anybody.
It could be the big guy, it could be...
But they had Bailey Quarters there, they didn't need to go looking.
Venus Flytrap.
Venus Flytrap, no, not Venus.
Could have been him.
Nah, Venus had his own stable.
Hello. Not in Mike's show.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, this is Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
I was calling in about the tip box at the car wash.
Yes, what about it, sir?
Hey, I used to run a full-service car wash in college.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys suck up enough money in the vacuums in the back to make that tip box look like a little piggy bank.
What do you mean?
Cool.
You mean all the loose change and stuff in the back of people's cars?
Yeah, they split that stuff up at the end of the day, and it's like playing Monopoly.
Is it really? You know, I never knew that.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. Is it mostly change, or do they get a lot of bills?
No, it's mostly change.
That is
cool. It must be a sign of a car wash with integrity. The car wash that I go to, generally, they leave the change on the seat.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're back there and you're not paying attention, I'm sure you go under the seats with the vacuum. You probably get a tremendous amount of change that way.
I guess so. Here's Hank in Green Bay. Hank.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
I just wanted to say I was listening to some of those local idiot talk shows on talk radio today.
Yeah.
And they were saying that the girl wanted it. They're all for it tomorrow. They're like, the girl asked for it. She deserved it.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that sick?
You know.
That is
God bless them.
So Homer.
God bless them. They got nothing else going in Green Bay.
That's right.
I logged on to the website today for you. What's the newspaper there? Is it the Post-Gazette?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Okay, so I log on to the Green Bay Post-Gazette because I want to read about Shimura. And, you know, it's hard, if you were to look at this and say, is this a newspaper that is giving you objective news coverage, or is this a Green Bay Packer fan magazine?
Right.
You wouldn't know, because they had...
It's so totally tempered?
They had a very tiny story up in the corner about Mark Shimura, and then they had big letters on the other side, new stadium plans, hey, Packer backers, number one Packer city in America, title town USA. Right.
That's the way it always is. It could be the town's burning down, but that's the first thing you'll hear about in the news is Brett Favre's got a hangnail.
So the deal was that the average radio in town was kind of supporting Shimura all the way, and not before they hear all the facts, of course.
Well, it was a lot of the town folk.
Yeah, well, you know, she was asking for it there because...
Yeah, you know, he doesn't have any responsibility, you know. If she's a good-looking girl and she goes in, like, you know, there to do the babysitting, I mean, what does she expect?
He's a
football player.
I mean, hell, it would be an honor there to be poked by Chewy. All for Chewy catching the pass and doing the leap there.
I got news for you. I know that there are daughters everywhere that would line up to be able to be a babysitter for a Packer.
I'll tell you something there, Yahey there. I would let my daughter have sex with any of the Packers.
Yeah, because they're the Packers.
With any of them.
Come on there. Give the guy a break. Give him a second chance.
When Holmgren quit, I called him up and I said, hey there, Mike. I got a nice 15-year-old daughter. How would you like to sleep with her and maybe think about not leaving Green Bay to go to Seattle there?
This is a time for all the Packer fans to forget about the troubles of that young girl and to line up behind a rich, wealthy football player.
Because she was asking for it there.
Hey, I wonder if the police are going to swab out the cheese head that he wore for protection.
Oh, God.
Goodbye.
I'm out of here.
Goodbye.
I'm out of here.
The funny thing was those Packer fans with the big number one fingers.
I can't believe
outside
that.
The courthouse. Yeah, we're there with you.
I wonder if they rode their Packer tractors down there.
Hello, Matt.
Yes.
Matt.
Don.
Yes.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, buddy.
I have a question for you. Greetings from Sacramento, by the way.
Thank you.
Alcoholism. How do you know when you've gone too far? Because I think I'm there.
Well, why don't you tell us about it?
Well, 23, and I love to drink.
Well, I mean, what makes you think you're an alcoholic?
man. You know, I'm not to the point where you may be, Mike, we're waking up and taking a shot, but I'm there.
not to that point, yeah, Mike.
Hey, no, I got to make it real clear that the other day I said that's the one thing I don't do. Remember when we took that quiz? I don't do that.
Don't do the morning, huh?
No, can't.
What time do you start?
After work, about 3:45.
Have you ever blacked out?
Never blacked out.
You ever lie about your alcohol use?
To some people.
Does alcohol use affect your relationships?
Not at all.
Are you drunk right now?
I'm actually working, unfortunately.
Have you lost previous jobs because of alcohol abuse?
No, I've lost previous jobs due to marijuana use.
Due to marijuana use?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that doesn't make you an alcoholic.
No. Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations. Clean bill of health is on my
check. He is okay. Oh, I love it when we can help a person.
Thank you. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, hi, guys. Did you hear that?
Not an alcoholic. Congratulations. Continue, citizen. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Mark Samora refused to go to the White House when the Packers were invited because he felt that President Clinton was sexually immoral.
Ooh. Yeah, you know, Chamora
is that really true?
That's true. Chamora is a gigantic, huge, big-ass conservative Republican.
Oh, that is so cool.
And, like, he's the only one that refused to go, you know, because he couldn't stand the way that the president was acting with the Monica Lewinsky
even
there.
Though it's still the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Way to go, Derek Chamora. Yeah, that's good. Okay, who's Johnny Hypocrisy now, there?
Oh, she was asking for it, Mike. You know it.
Man, I don't remember that. I never remember that. He didn't go. He was the only
member of the Packers. And he had like a press conference where he announced why he wasn't going.
What a dick.
I'm not going because of the Monica Lewinsky there.
Well, he's now, getting his reward now, isn't he?
Excuse me. My babysitter is just coming off her period, and I gotta go now.
Oh boy! Well, that makes it even more interesting.
Hello, Deborah.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I believe Mark Chamora is the Lester Burnham of the Packers. I think that was Kevin Spacey's character.
Lester Burnham. Okay, beautiful. Thank you, Deborah.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye.
Gotta remember that, Lester Burnham.
Lester Burnham.
Everybody.
Oh man.
Hello, James.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just want to let you know, I was listening to you guys talking about tipping, and I got to tell you why I never, ever tip.
You mean in any circumstance?
I find it, unless they go really above and beyond, when they get hired, they are food servers.
Are you talking about in any restaurant?
Any restaurant.
No, listen, that is a huge mistake. I mean, you can get away with that. You can get away with that once.
Once, exactly.
But
you
if
never
you ever
go back to that place.
If you ever go back to that restaurant again, you know,
no.
You're going to be eating someone's stool.
Definitely.
Do you get called on it a lot? Do you get a lot of people that make comments to you?
I have been asked about it, and I explained to her. I said, when you took this job, you got hired to serve my food. You got hired to bring me my dinner. That's what you get paid for.
Way to make her feel like crap.
Butter, if you keep bringing me, you know, what I need, asking me how I'm doing, maybe you'll get something at the end. But don't expect it if you don't go above and beyond. Because I've had these people that come up and they give you dirty looks, and they haven't done a damn thing. They leave you at the table. They never see how you're doing. They never say nothing.
I'm afraid to do that. I overtip even when the service is bad.
It's impossible. Okay. It's impossible to argue with this guy because what his point is very, very well taken. I mean, you have to, but it is. I think we're all kind of in that culture. Of we have to tip.
Do you know who we got ripped off during vacation a couple of weeks ago when we were in the Cayman Islands?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't realize until we were there for 4 days that they just add 15% on to everything.
Yeah.
And a lot of times by the end of the dinner, you know, I'm tired and Frida's tired. We've been at the beach all day. We just want to get out of the restaurant. We would just look at whatever the total was, and I'd say, honey, add 20%.
Oh, man.
And let's go. Mm. And it wasn't until like the fourth day she was going through her receipts and she said, oh, my God, do you realize that all these restaurants we've been to, they've already built in a tip, and you big dope, you've over-tipped them by like 20%.
Right. I mean, you may be throwing, you know, a token 5% on top of that.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Hey, here's another great ripoff. Now, this is a ripoff that you could only do once, but if you ever wanted to drop out of society.
Yes.
And, like, you wanted to go down to the Cayman Islands where they have, like, the Hilton has a place and the Hyatt has a place and there's a Ritz-Carlton, all these fancy hotels. What you could do is, you go to the hotel bar, you go out by the beach, you drink all day, you smoke Cuban cigars, and you order the most expensive meals possible, because they don't ask for money. All they say is, what's your room?
Sure.
And you just go and say, yeah, 1402.
Right.
You know, the end of the day, you go, oh, my belly's full. I'm drunk. I've got a great Cuban cigar. Now, you couldn't ever go back.
Right.
Again. Mm-hmm. But the whole time that we were at this Hyatt down in the Cayman Islands, never once did anybody ever say to me, what's your name?
Right.
Do you have your, they always give you that little ID
you know,
to carry
though,
with you?
I know what you're saying, but I also know that we're talking about hotels, and we're talking about big chain hotels, and theft prevention is their number one deal. Believe me, somebody has noodled it through. Somebody has thought it out. Somebody is going back to a computer screen. You mentioned your room number. Somebody is seeing it, because you'd have to make sure that you gave the room number that happened to be occupied. I know there's got to be
well,
a way.
Hyatt, they're 100% occupied all the time.
We're going to get a call from somebody who is working in that and said, here's how we do it. Here's how we, because people would be doing that all the time.
I gave it a thought myself when I was getting all these thoughts with Frieda about how we should just drop out of society.
You'd get caught.
No, for the first week, we could just go to a different hotel every day. We don't look like freeloaders.
Right.
We would just go drink the big banana mudslides, lay in the pool. Yeah. I'd load up on cigars. We could have nice food for a week, we'd live like kings. Now,
for a week.
She said, well,
for a week is you dropped out of society, and then, you know, for the rest of the weeks of your life, you would be screwed.
Well, all right, but you could get one great week out of it.
I seem to remember either we've had this discussion.
I can't tell you, every time that we went anywhere in the hotel, whether it was to the gift shop to get a newspaper, whether we were at the hotel bar, whether at the pool bar on the beach, every time, and different people every day working there.
Right.
Room number 1205. Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
But you'd have to sign for it, right? They bring you something at
not
the end
always.
Of the day.
You run a tab.
You have to sign the tab at the end of the day?
No, a lot of times we'd look for the girl or the guy who'd be bringing us drinks. We couldn't find him. We'd go,
you know
it.
We're going to get somebody calling, somebody saying, here's the way we do.
I'm telling you, I think it's a great scam. I truly do. Hello, Skip. It can only work for a week.
Right. This is or probably a day.
Yeah, a day at each hotel.
A day at each hotel.
A day at each resort. Mm-hmm. Hello, Skip.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
But you go somewhere like Hawaii where there's like, you know, you could do it for a month there. There's 30 different gigantic resorts in Hawaii.
That's true.
Hello.
Hey, hello.
But like you couldn't look like a deadbeat or anything.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, hold on a second. My hotline is ringing. I'll come right back to you. Hello.
Hey, Dad.
Hey. Hello.
About the Cayman Island thing?
Yeah, buddy.
On the second day, I put the wrong phone room number, and I didn't know it, but I told the lady.
Yeah?
Didn't look at it with anything. I switched up the numbers, and she was like, okay. She started running it through.
Oh, all right. There you go. Proof positive.
It works.
But now, did you end up making it right with her?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Because then I looked at the card they give us, and I was like, oops, wrong number.
Right. See, I'm telling you, you could pull that
maybe
scam.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe they wouldn't be able to catch you.
100% chance you could pull that scam. How's your ear?
It hurts.
How's your ass?
Oh, it double hurts.
Wow. Yeah, there I go, the abusive father again.
What's the matter?
Hurt is... And you, how'd you hurt your butt? You were playing baseball at school yesterday?
Yeah, and I slid into home, and I was wearing shorts.
No, did you bruise your coccyx?
No.
That's your tailbone.
No, he just...
I have my entire leg skinned up.
Yeah, all the way from like his mid-thigh all the way down.
Way to go into home hard, Bart. Way to do it.
And the ear thing... This is something that happened on vacation also.
The swimmer's ear?
Well, no, we already took him to the doctor once, and the doctor gave him eardrops.
And it got better, but then it got worse again.
And antibiotics, and now his ear has started to bleed. So he's got to go back to the doctor again today.
It's no fun.
All right, bud.
Okay.
Love you.
Love you, too.
All right, see ya.
Get well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Goodbye. Hello, Dad?
Here's the deal.
Hello, Dad?
I gave him the wrong number.
Hello, Skip.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Hey, what about the dude that wipes your seat off at the stadium? You tip him?
The guy, you like if you go to Camden Yards? Yes. I tip that guy $1 for wiping my chair. Absolutely.
For one seat or two?
I give him $1 per seat.
Good man. That's what I do, too. I didn't know. Because I see people get their seats wiped and they don't give them nothing.
God, I don't.
Give the guy something.
I don't. It's a service.
Oh, you tight wads.
I believe
no,
not.
You've got to. Imagine that crappy job. Some old guy. And
well, I forget.
His only job is to wipe a seat at Camden Yards?
I'm sorry. I thought. See, those are the ushers. And you know what? The only time I've ever tipped ushers in a ballpark is when I want to get a seat down closer. I should. See, I'm learning. I'm sorry. I want to apologize to all the ushers that I haven't tipped, and I'll be tipping them from now on.
Always line them up.
Tip them.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
Now I'm better. Once again, this is just like the mailman. I'm racked with guilt again.
So hold on. Time out. You know what? We'll take some more calls. We come right back.
This is John Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Okay. You can't say more after that.
That's like when Regis says, okay, fine.
Well, then fine.
Fine. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Don. I'm Mike. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Great to hear you. I work part-time at a bingo hall at VerdundoCoin.
Hey, great gig.
Oh, you don't even know how good a gig it is.
Cherry gig. Jesus, what a cherry job that is.
How come you're not working there full-time?
Because I actually have a full-time job as a marketing rep for an insurance company.
And I bet you're dying to get out of that job and get full-time with the bingo.
Boy, two fantastic jobs.
Hey, be nice.
Working for an insurance company and working at a bingo hall.
B43, do you get to call the numbers?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do? Well, at least you get to, the main man.
You the man.
You get tips and commission, man. The best night I've ever had working at that hall, I've walked out with $150 in tips.
In tips? Wow. From bingo?
From bingo.
Yeah, because what happens is, like, when you're not calling, if you're working a specific section, you sell extra games that they don't have, and that's a scam by the hall because they just get extra money.
Plus, I bet you're getting laid all the time.
Oh, yeah, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever, man.
Right. Have her pop out her dentures.
Hey, you're the best number caller I've ever seen. Ooh,
well, nice gum job.
When you bring the tips, when you bring the money that they win back, they're real superstitious about stuff. And you can't wish them good luck or leave rubber bands on the table because that's like bad luck. But if they don't tip you, then they don't think they're going to win again. So somebody can get like $500, they'll tip you like 20-30%.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing the most pathetic man on the planet.
Oh.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Chris. Chris, who works at a bingo hall.
And if we'd kept Chris on the line longer, I'm sure he would have lived with his mom.
Hello, Craig. And been a virgin.
Absolutely.
Yes. Hello. With bad acne.
Mrs. Walton won $500, and she gave me 20%, Mom.
That's nice, Chris.
Look, I brought home donuts.
Rub my feet.
I love you, Mom.
I love you.
Thank you, Mother.
Go to your other job, selling insurance.
Yes, Mother.
Hello, Jack.
Hey, Don and Mike. Listen, pulled up the Cincinnati Inquirer site. They got the Jim Fox story up there. Some nice details on here.
Jimmy Fox.
Yeah, Jimmy Fox with you, everybody. Q102.
Well, it turns out the name that this detective used to trap him was Cute and Curious. But he was 14. And not only did he have beer and condoms, but he had quilts to cover the back of his Ford Explorer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Quilts.
And you wonder why people hate disc jockeys.
Oh, that's
so much.
Unbelievable.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, hold on, what was her internet name again?
It's just go to Enquirer, E-N.
No, give me, what was the name?
Cute and Curious.
Cute and Curious.
Oh, and there was one more thing. The song that he dedicated to her on the air,
yeah.
Shania Twain's Honey, I'm Home.
Oh, God!
Oh, yeah. Hey, I want to send this one out to Cute and Curious. Well, I'm going to be meeting later tonight with a 12-pack of beer and some condoms.
So nice to be back in the chat room. I will have quilts for the back of my Ford Explorer.
Hello, Steve. Oh, now here's the guy who says he's played football with Mark Shimura. What was the name again from American Beauty?
It was Lester Burnham.
He played football with Lester Burnham.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, I played at BC with him under Commandant Coughlin.
Yes, right, Boston College.
What you were saying about how, like, you guys had the DJ chain that went around?
Yep.
We had the same thing with BC football players. What really happened is this guy was having a prom party for his daughter, and he invited Chimura over to be like, oh, look, we know the football player. And supposedly it was Chimura's buddy that got a little friendly in the bathroom.
Oh, so you're saying that the story is not as it's been reported.
No, Chimura was there, but there isn't any proof that he actually got touchy-feely.
There's no proof yet.
Well, from the sound of it, there's another guy who's a quarterback who went to BC who plays for the Packers, Hasselbeck.
Oh, yeah, the Hasselbeck.
He was
the second stringer last year for Brett. Oh, yeah. Listen, I got to tell you, though, every story that I've read says that the guy who was Chimura's friend, who was Lester Burnham's friend, all he did was grope an 18-year-old, and that Chimura took the 17-year-old in the bathroom and pulled down his underpants and you know...
And went for it?
Yeah.
See, we've just heard that that's big exaggeration, and it's all supposed to come out. It's going to be another Michael Irvin.
So it's actually Michael Irving?
As far, yeah, sorry.
Okay, that sounds like GIF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. Well, you know, you never know. I mean, you never know with all this stuff.
Yeah, Chewie wouldn't do something like that. He's a good Catholic Republican boy.
Exactly. You're on the side. All right. Right. Thank you know, it sounds to me like we're listening to those Packer talk shows today.
Mm-hmm. Remember when GIF used to be on Monday Night Football and everything?
You used to hate that
play?
More than anything he did. That's when you. That was the beginning of the end for you and GIF because you used to come in after every Monday Night Football.
Michael Irving.
You know, he wouldn't say that the Cowboys play in Irving, Texas. He
right.
It was the same. From Irving, Texas, there's number 88 for the Cowboys, Michael Irving. You know, and the rest of the dopes in that booth would just go, yeah, very nice, Frank.
Absolutely, GIF.
Very nice, GIF.
See you at the ESPN zone.
Get back in your coffin.
Glass.
Your clear glass coffin. Hello, Rick.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing, Mike?
Hi.
Buzz.
Hey.
I wonder if Buzz ever heard this story or if you guys did a story about this guy who went into a Goodwill store, bought a uniform, went and bought a model with some little emblems and bought some wings and became a pilot. And he would just go to the desk and say, you know how pilots get to fly everywhere for free, wherever they're going?
I bet that would work.
Probably. I bet that would work.
And then
work.
He would find out what hotel they were supposed to stay in, get the name of a pilot, go in and check in under that guy's name, and just eat and stay there as long as he wanted.
That's one of the great things. When you run out of time, when you run out of hotels, you just get yourself a pilot suit, and you fly around the world just pretending to be a pilot.
So then he went down south, and he became a doctor. He got one of these fake diplomas, and he would go to conferences under different, like hospitals, and he would check into the hotel wherever there was a hospital, and he would be Dr. Blowjo, whatever.
Now, wouldn't be tougher to pull off? I mean, like, even when a doctor goes to a conference, doesn't the doctor have to give a credit card to
get a
room?
I would think so. I would think so, but I mean, he can go to all of the free buffets, yeah,
right?
And he can eat like a king. They're not going to check. He's, you know, he just puts a name down. Hello, I'm Dr. Katsiophagus.
Does this ring a bell? Did you ever see the story about this guy?
I haven't heard this story. No, it's news to me.
All right, thank you.
He went to France and was doing something over there, and the French finally caught up with him. I don't know what they caught him for over there, but
whoever this guy is, he's a genius. We should get him on this show.
You know, he had like an IQ of 150.
As long as he's not going into the operating room or flying the plane, I think what the hell.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, sir.
Yes, hi.
My name is Dana. You are Radio Gods.
Thank you. Hello, Dana.
How are you?
Hello, Dana.
Hello, Dana.
Hello, Dana.
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 Dana. Let me give you the lowdown on tipping.
Dana. Yes, Dana.
Well, I've heard some sad stories. You don't tip at McDonald's. Usually when you go into a restaurant, if it's buffet, you tip 10%. If you go into a full-service restaurant, the minimum is...
All right, goodbye. Shut up.
Your time is up, please.
Dana.
F you, Dana.
Dana, Radio Gods. Dana, let me tell you all about tipping.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi there, baby.
I cannot believe I am talking to y'all. It's been forever. I've listened to you guys ever since I was, 12, 13?
Is this the first time you've called?
Is this Mark Chamora's babysitter?
No.
Did you babysit for Lester Burnham in Green Bay? That's the best name, Lester Burnham.
Lester Burnham.
Robbie, you know, it's too bad. When does American Beauty come out on video? Is it like 2 weeks or something? I've got a CD like a Packer highlights from the year they won the Super Bowl.
That's right, Lester Burnham.
We'll have to get some like Chamora highlights and.
Oh sure, just dub in the ones where he's talking to the babysitter
and splice in Lester Burnham,
the prom girl.
Well, yeah, hi there. I'm sorry.
No. Enjoy. The biggest thing I want to tell you about is that of course everybody knows about blacklist in restaurants, right?
Blacklisted restaurants, like certain customers that you know are bad tippers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except it's a lot more common practice. And a lot of people, I don't know if it's a common fact for most people, but most waitresses and waiters only make $2.13 an hour. Their largest portion of their money comes from tips.
Yeah, we know that. Hey, listen, who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Let's see. I've been told a little bit of... Well, she's dead, but... What's her name? The pinup from the 50s, Betty.
Betty Grable?
No.
Betty Boop.
Long black hair.
Betty Buckley.
Oh, man.
Betty and Veronica.
I'm trying to think of what.
Are we playing the Betty game?
Betty Rubble.
Betty White.
I'm still way ahead. If we're playing the Betty game, I think we are. Because I have such a gigantic lead.
Black Betty.
I'm still at least two ahead.
And now the show's ground to a total halt. Betty.
Say it, I'm king of the Bettys.
King of the Bettys. He caught me by surprise. It's been a long time.
King of the Bettys.
It just came out of nowhere. I was totally unprepared.
Yeah, sorry.
But I still don't know the celebrity, this woman. Betty Grable was the big pinup in the 40s.
No, this one was like 50s, and she was known for that black leopard suit that she always used to wear. Long black hair.
All right, please. All right, goodbye.
I was only interested in her because she sounded sexy.
She scares me.
Hey, beware of women who sound too sexy.
Hello, Mike. Mike, buddy.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. Hi, hey, how you guys doing, Don and Mike?
We're doing great, thank you.
I was calling because you guys were talking about the room charges in hotels.
Yes.
I used to work for the Hyatt.
Yeah?
You can definitely pull it off. You'd have to do it on the days when they have a high check-in. What happens is they take it back and you close it to the room. The only way they pick up is a lot of the people who order room service all the time. So the waiters actually get to know them, but they're really, there's no way to check on it.
I'm telling you, like for a one-day scam.
I stand corrected. I would think that major hotels would have a little bit of control over that, but obviously not.
No. It's really funny. You can get away with it. If you have that meal, and then you go and you rant and you rave and you complain, if you're actually staying in the hotel, you can get the stay for free, you can get airline tickets.
Wow.
It's amazing. When I was in the hotel industry, who would come in and they know exactly how to work the system and they get everything for free. Give it away.
If we ever dropped out of society, like we really ever did move to the Cayman Islands, I said we'd spend 2 or 3 days a week just going to these private beaches that these hotels have.
Because
the regular beach, if you just go down there for a vacation.
Yeah, and then eventually, after about a month of doing that, you'd probably stay as the guest of the Cayman Islands. In the Cayman Islands prison system.
No, I'm telling you, you could pull that off.
I think it's a good idea.
You could pull that off.
Maitre d'. Maitre d', is there a problem here?
No, and I'm not talking about like charging stuff to the room.
Right.
But I'm saying if you drove down the road from the compound where the hotels were, if you went like to the public beach, there was like goats on the beach and there was like needles floating up on shore and everything.
Right.
But the areas that were the beaches just for hotel guests were beautifully manicured. They had the nice big chaise lounges with the big folding things on top to keep the sun out of the way.
How do you get access though? You have to walk through the middle of the hotel?
No.
You have to walk through the front door?
No, you don't.
Really?
No, you don't.
Wow.
There's just a sign that says beach for Hyatt guests only.
For guests only. So you just drive into the hotel parking lot.
Park your car.
Get your thongs on.
And walk and spend all day at their beach.
It's wonderful.
I'm telling you, you could do it. You really could. And you could eat for a week at different hotels.
And then that one day would come. You know, you'd have to have that. The one embarrassing day would be, hello, sir. Are you a guest of the hotel? May I see a room key, please?
And then you would say, oh, you know what? And then that's why you got to have the husband-wife thing. Because you would look at your wife and you go, honey, what's our room number? And she'd go, oh, you know, I left it out in the bag by the pool.
Right.
Can we come right back? And then you just run as fast as you can.
You run.
And you would never go back to that hotel.
Run.
Hello, Robert.
Yes.
Hi.
Don, Mike, I'm just letting you know that, Don, you got royally screwed in Mexico.
I didn't go to Mexico.
Well, wherever you went. Because they tax luxury tax and all that stuff on room service.
Oh, thank you. It's another genius caller to the Don and Mike show. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Well, can I tell you something? God royally screwed you.
Please. Jesus Christ, you jerk off.
He was screwed
on the big scheme of things.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey there.
This is Emily from Athens, Georgia.
Yes, hello there.
And I was just going to talk about a friend of mine who worked as a waitress in a restaurant, and whenever somebody wouldn't tip her, she would follow them out of the restaurant and say that a busboy had been stealing tips and ask the people how much they
What a brilliant way.
That's a good scam.
That's a brilliant way to do it. And then you
shame the people into saying, we left you $5.
Right. Yeah. And if you've given decent service, then the people really can't run you a tude. That's a great idea. I think all waiters and waitresses should do that. Follow somebody. Excuse me.
Listen, I'm so sorry to bring this up.
The busboys have been stealing the tips here.
And I noticed that there was no tip left.
I didn't want to pressure you into giving, but said, did you leave a tip? And then they if they're real dinks, they go, no, we didn't leave a tip.
That would only work if they paid cash, though, right? Because on a credit card, you just have the choice of not writing in a tip.
And I was a busboy who got accused of stealing tips from waitresses by waitresses.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Imagine that, young Buzz bringing the food.
I didn't do it.
But most of the time, they were just simply having their way with you, right?
Well, there was a lot of that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Stugatz.
Hello.
Stugatz is la bocca.
Italian?
Italian for these nuts. And they said it on the Sopranos throughout the whole season.
Stugatz.
So you guys picked up on that?
Hey, Marone.
Stugatz.
Stugatz.
Hey, Stugatz. Okay, Stugatz. Thank you.
Esta la boca.
All right. Hemorrhaging spongolics here.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, you know what really sucks out here in California? That when you're a server, you get taxed 8% of what your food sales are. So if you sell $1,000, they automatically tax you on 8% of that money, whether you leave a tip or not.
Is that their way around not reporting tips?
Just how the government gets their money. People who just try to make some extra money making tips, I guess.
That's the government coming down on the man.
That's really good.
Thank you, my friend. All right, one last call. I'm getting bored of this whole tipping thing. Hello, Mike.
Hi, how you doing, Don and Mike?
Great, thanks.
Good, love your show.
Thank you, buddy.
I had a question. If you go to a strip club and you pay a girl for, let's say, a lap dance or a table dance,
mm-hmm.
do you tip them over the amount that you pay them for that? Or do you tip it?
I wouldn't know.
I have no idea.
Gee, I wouldn't know. I'm sorry, we wouldn't know.
I have no idea.
No one in this room can help you. I'm sorry.
Not a person in here. Rob, you don't know, do you?
You know Rob?
No. Rob doesn't know either. We're stumped. Nobody knows the answer to that.
We're stumped. Thank you, though.
All right, thanks a lot.
I'm sorry. I wish we could help that.
Look at that.
Let's clear these lines and take a caller 100.
All right.
Prize package selected especially for you. A shot at rent and mortgage. Good luck. Phone number 1-877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller right now.
This Twins, York, Don and Mike.
Well, we got to make sure that we end on time tonight. I simply must be home to watch Divas on VH1.
Oh, Divas, Diana Ross, hello.
Divas.
I got news for you. Around the time that Love Child was a hit, 1969, Diana Ross had already hit the wall then. She's behind the wall now.
Yeah, but RuPaul's going to be on the show.
You know, there really are no real divas anymore. This has now just become another promotional opportunity for VH1. You know, VH1 should just do what they do best,
mm-hmm.
behind the music. That's the only thing good on VH1.
That's true.
And tonight on Divas, you will have Mariah Carey. Yo. Mm-hmm. Yo, how you doing? F-U-F, ball.
Hey, Mariah, we've got a plate of fresh oysters for you before you go on stage.
Mariah Carey, Donna Summer.
Right.
And Faith Hill in a tribute to Diana Ross.
Yuck. Is Diana Ross going to be there?
Yes.
All right.
And she's effed the Supremes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other two...
She Bims, always did eff the Supremes.
The other two Bims, Mary Wilson and Cindy Birdsong.
Right.
She's just replaced them mm-hmm. with, like, two of James Brown's sexolettes.
Yeah, yeah.
She's just got two other girls who are going to have the big poofy hairdos who are going to be singing in the background.
Actually, the girls that they got to replace are Supremes, but Supremes that came, like, in the late 70s and early 80s.
After she left.
She never sang with these, and they're calling it a reunion tour.
Oh, it's so BS.
Diana Ross is so overhyped. I mean, I like some of the Supreme songs and stuff, but let's face it.
Oh, now, just a minute. I'm Coming Out. I'm Coming Out was a song that meant an awful lot to me. And
because of your sexuality.
Well, it just was a song I needed to hear, and it was a song that motivated me. I'll tell you, when I was going to all those press conferences, playing it as loud as I could.
Popular now because Puff Daddy did this, right? This is a Puff Daddy song.
This is a Diana Ross song.
Please. VH1 Divas.
Do you know
Divas
where you're going to? Oh, man, I'm sorry. I get all filled up when I even...
I hate Diana Ross. I truly do. I mean, I even hated her back when she was good. Back when they were on Ed Sullivan and stuff, I knew that she was a bitch. That she treated the other Supremes like crap. Baby
I just knew
love.
It.
Baby Love?
Mm. I like those songs.
Chills when I hear that response.
F you.
My endless love.
And who will be the special diva tonight? Maybe it'll be Elton John again.
Hope so. I hope so.
Remember that year they had him come out because he's queer, so he's a diva.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, girl. This is Elton John.
A lot of hands like this.
Yeah.
A lot of hands splayed out. Splayed out for everyone to see.
What a waste of a good cable channel that is.
Well, I'm coming up with my own one. It's going to be called Dudes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I am caller 100.
VH1 Dudes.
Hi, I'm Mike O'Mara for VH1 Dudes.
Hey, what is your name?
Walter.
Walter, listen, where are you calling from, sir?
Centerville.
You are the 100th caller. Congratulations.
All right.
You've won chicken.
Great.
You've won Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No oysters.
Try KFC's Tender Roast Sandwich, one of five freshly made sandwiches from Colonel Sanders. But wait, there's more. Oh, wait. Well, here's the surprise diva at tonight's show.
Okay.
We just figured out who it is.
Get that
fan! Get down, Mama.
Get down, Mama. Get that fan! Watch your baby.
We haven't played the state for 5 years, and that's 2 days in a row. And now the surprise diva, Gladys.
Get up and shake, round and roll.
Play it, Mama.
Come on and shake, round and roll.
Mariah.
Come on and
Faith.
Round and roll.
Diana.
Come on and shake.
Donna.
Round
and Gladys.
You won't do right.
Hey, baby.
Save your doggone soul.
Hey, wake up.
Wake up.
Okay, you've won the chicken from Kentucky Fried Chicken. But wait, there's more. You've qualified for a weekly giveaway this Friday. Somebody wins a portable DVD player courtesy of DVDExpress.com. They're the best place to go for new releases. Visit DVDExpress.com and take Hollywood home. But wait, still more. You've also qualified to have us pay your rent or mortgage on Friday, April 28th. That's our next big free money show. And we pay tons of rents and tons of mortgages. How much do you pay every month?
$875.
$875. So doable.
All right.
So payable. Please make sure you're listening to the free money show, okay?
Excellent.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
You can mock me all you want, but I'll tell you, Dudes is going to be a big hit.
Oh, yeah.
We got three commitments already. It's going to be a big show. We got Clint Black, Meatloaf, and Sam Harris. It is going to be a smash.
Why not have Charlie Stossel host it?
If he wants to be the guest diva, dude.
The guest dude.
The guest dude. And then you combine the two, and you have an extravaganza known as Dudes and Divas. It's going to be big.
Then you could have a dual hosting. You could have Charlie Stossel and the commish.
Yeah. Who's in between being curly on that TV movie.
Oh, my God. We saw a commercial for this today. Mm-hmm. This is the worst abortion in the history of television. They're doing a TV movie about the Three Stooges, and they have hired the commish to play Curly.
Right. And they're trying to make it too serious. You know what I mean?
The commercial we saw today was Curly.
And then that guy that's been on all the TV commercials. Is that going to be Mo, the guy that's got the big nose?
Right.
And that's a terrible actor.
Not even the good Mo haircut.
Michael Chiklis, the guy who plays the commish, has just got a history of bad choices. Remember, he played Belushi in Wired.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
The same guy that played Belushi is playing Curly.
I wonder who his agent is.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
The history of bad choices. So the ad we saw today had this guy doing an awful Curly impression.
Yeah, really, really bad.
He's like, hey, what's up? Knock, knock, knock.
And then the obligatory shot of them from behind them on stage as the spotlights hit them, you know, and the Three Stooges, yeah, the movie.
He turns and he says to Mo, I'm really not like that. I'm really not like that.
Oh, jive.
People don't respect me.
You know that dialogue didn't happen. These were vaudeville guys. You know, there was a lot of, F you, get on the effing stage.
Hey, F you, Curly.
Oh, come on, give me a drink, give me a hit of bourbon.
Hey, listen, F you. Oh, wow, look at that broad. Let's F her. Where the girls, get the girls back.
Come here, you fag.
Why, you? Don't you dare hit me in the head. You know I'm not normal. Oh, am I loaded tonight, Bo? Jesus, I'm Bob.
I'm horny.
Wow, look at the jugs on her, Curly.
You know, the guy, when I saw the guy playing Mo, that's when I don't know who that guy is. He was famous for some series of TV commercials, and I forgot what they were, but that is about it.
No, but the Curly guy's the worst.
Right.
He's the worst. I mean, you can get a bad character actor to play Mo.
You know the Larry
guy? Get a bad character guy to play Larry.
Larry should be played by the guy that's been, he's a character actor, he was in Quiz Show. Do you know the guy I'm talking about?
You mean the guy who was the champion on Quiz Show?
Yeah, no, no, the guy that was the producer on Quiz Show.
And he
also was in Mr. Saturday Night. He played Billy Crystal's brother in Mr. Saturday Night.
It's not John Turturro, or
no.
What's that guy's name? You know who I'm thinking
about?
Yeah,
I know who you're talking. It's not John. No, it's not the guy that was. He is the guy that has been in a million movies. He's always. We have a tape of him when he says, you're making me excited. I got a Woody. He's that actor.
Oh, he was a manager on Larry Sanders.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
He was. He was Larry's publicity agent or something.
Publicist, and I think he would be a perfect Larry, and he's a very good actor. You know, but they, you know, obviously they're going with what they can get for this Three Stooges.
Yeah, it looks just awful.
It does.
With the commish as Curly.
David Paymer.
That's his name.
Did you go to your big volume, your leather bound?
Didn't have to. It came to me before I got to the book.
David Paymer.
David right. Paymer, P-A-Y-M-E-R.
Robbie, please go check. I think we have a full stable of girls working on the show today. Why don't you, if they're both here, why don't you bring Beth in first?
Okay.
I'd like to introduce you now to our new intern, the fiery redhead known as Beth.
Go. Beth.
We're going to introduce her now to everybody listening. She's going to take a sit. No, this is Charlie Broyhill.
One of the women behind the scenes.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi. We don't have Lisa. She's here Wednesday and Friday.
All right, we'll quiz her tomorrow. Is Beth here today?
Yes.
All right, send her in.
Very nice. I've only spoken with Beth very briefly, and that was to say hello.
Right. The Vestal Virgin. Beth.
Beth. Just met her briefly. She will be taking the quiz. Please welcome our brand new intern.
Here is Beth now.
Beth, a round of applause for
now,
Beth.
Look at her. Look at her. Look how awesome she is.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Nice to see you, Beth.
How old are you, Beth?
I'm 18.
Simply 18.
18.
Old enough to be raped by Mark Chamorro.
Oh, my God.
Old enough to have sex with Lester Burnham. Excuse me, you're too old to have sex with Lester Burnham.
Yes, and as Buzz was straightening his collar there, 18. Where do you go to school?
I go to Nova.
Nova, Northern Virginia?
Yes.
All right.
13th grade.
Yeah.
Right, community college, okay.
How is it working at the fine WJFK here in Washington, D.C.?
It's fun, a lot of crazy callers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Are you handling them? Are you handling it well?
I think so, I hope.
Are you nervous?
A little. My dad listens to your station, and he might be listening right now, but I hope he's not.
Hey, does your dad carry a firearm?
No.
All right.
Okay, well, you have to be honest. You have to take the sex quiz.
Okay.
First, you have to take the gum out of your mouth, please.
Yes, no gum.
Okay, just spit it on the floor. Don't worry about it. Just spit it on the floor.
It's a tiny piece of gum.
Well, she's got a tiny little mouth. Who's the celebrity you think you most resemble, Beth?
Actually, I don't think I resemble any.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any resemblance to anyone?
Oh, come on.
Maybe Katie Holmes? I don't know.
Who's Katie Holmes?
Was that Felicity?
Dawson's Creek.
Okay.
You look like one of those girls.
Absolutely.
Well, she's not a pig for all you guys out there.
No, not at all.
In the Beach Towel J.O. Club.
Very pretty girl.
She's cute.
Pretty girl.
She's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
How far past 18 are you?
I turned 18 in January, so not
freshly,
that far.
Not freshly 18.
Yes.
Okay. Why am I suddenly uncomfortable? With the news headlines of the day, Buzz, I share your color streaming.
Just uncomfortable.
Just a little bit of this.
Mike, she's old enough to vote.
I understand that, father of a son.
She's a freshman in college.
I understand that.
She's a member of the show. She's an intern. She's going to take our intern sex quiz.
I think the sex quiz is a part of every employee on this show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, Beth, this is not an official question. Do you like boys?
Yes.
You do.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Yes, I do.
Nice boy?
Yeah, he's
older than you, younger than you?
He's 21.
He's 21.
21, all right. See, that tells me something about Beth already.
Does Dad like him?
Not too much.
Way to go, Dad.
They get along.
Dad, if you're listening, I'm for you. This is the time, on moments like this on the show, I feel that karma thing, where I've got to be as well-behaved as possible because of the future.
Well, there's no chance that your daughter will ever be taking a sex quiz on a radio show.
That's for sure. She'll be in a convent.
That's right. So when you started seeing this guy, how old were you when you started seeing him, obviously?
I was 14.
Oh, 14. This is a high school sweetheart?
Yeah, we've broken up a lot, but basically 3.5 years on and off.
On and off, 3.5 years.
Wow. Okay, right. So when you were 14, he was...
He was 18.
18?
Maybe almost 18.
Hey, Dad, no wonder you don't like the guy.
All right, well,
He's lucky to be alive.
Here we go. Please answer every question honestly. There are 14 questions on this sex quiz. For Beth, our new intern. Beth, have you ever engaged in three-way sex?
No.
No.
That would be no. Beth, have you ever had sex while menstruating?
Yes.
Hi, Dad.
Good for you.
All right.
Beth, have you ever had a lesbian experience?
No.
You just blushed. You're blushing
no,
a little bit.
No, I haven't.
Okay, very good. No, I know, but I mean, you're blushing a little bit.
Yeah, it's because it's a...
I know.
Have you ever made love in your parents' house?
Yes.
Hi, Dad. Is Dad a fan of the show?
Yes, he's a big fan.
Oh, he's not a fan.
Not after today.
I know.
He's driving here right now.
Beth, have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
Well, Spanish, does that count?
Sure, hey!
Spanish, good for you.
Bravo.
Have you ever J-O'd in front of others?
No.
No.
Have you ever had sex in a public place?
Yes.
Naughty girl. Right, boy, she's sitting right next to Toya back there. They're gonna be fast friends.
Have you ever been filmed or photographed while having sex?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Is this because of the boyfriend that Dad hates?
Hold on. We're going to go through the yes answers.
Very good.
Just
all
go
right.
through the questions.
Lord Almighty.
Have you ever had sex in the no-no spot?
No.
Good girl.
Mm-hmm. You swallow?
Yes.
Have you J-O'd today?
No.
Have you ever had sex in a car?
Yes.
Have you ever had a one-night stand?
Yes.
And finally, your total number of sexual partners.
Four.
Beautiful. Now, is this all going to be enlightening to Dad, or do you have one of those open relationships with your parents where you tell them everything?
He does not know anything.
Oh, my God.
I'd like to welcome him to the show.
Very good.
Let me say that appearances are very deceiving.
Yes, she appears to be pure as the driven snow.
So look at her. Look at how goddamn wholesome she looks.
She does. She does indeed.
We found out what a giant whore she is.
Oh, God. Now Dad's definitely no, not at all. Of course
no,
not.
Girl. No, I'm kidding.
That was a joke.
I'm kidding.
Of course you are
kidding.
Not.
You're not a whore. You've never taken money for sex, have you?
No.
Okay, good. Not a whore.
Very good.
All right, Buzz, let's review those yes answers.
There were 8 yeses, 5 no's, and the answer to the last question was 4.
Okay, so there's 14 questions, and one of the questions was the number of partners, so that means really only 13 yes or no's, and she had 8 out of 13 yeses.
Buzz, are you keeping a record of everybody's tallying everybody's answers?
No, sadly I didn't. I wish I had.
I wish we all
She's
had.
She's approaching your record, Buzz, though.
Yes. I would say she passed the test, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought that Buzz had the most amount of yeses.
I did. I think it was 8, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my God. You've matched Buzz.
And look at that. And for goodness sakes, Buzz is approaching 60. He's had a very full life. You're only 18, Beth. All right, Beth, let's go over these yes answers. Buzz, do you have the numbers of the questions?
Question number 2 was a yes.
Have you ever had sex while menstruating?
Yeah. May I go on record? I'd like to move by this question.
Yeah. Well, Mike,
I would really love to move by this
would
question.
Would you like to go to the isolation booth for a moment? Because
yes, I know you'd like to dwell on it. You know, you are so consumed with the no-no spot, but yet you will linger on this. And this is my no-no spot, okay? But go ahead, ask away.
I'm just curious, was it with the guy now? Was it with him?
Yes, my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Do you do that because you think it's safe?
No, just... If we wanted to have sex, we did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. I'm so glad that's over.
All right. Okay. Yes. Moving past that now.
Thank Number you. 4 was a yes.
Number 4 was a yes. Have you ever made love in your parents' house? Really, when was this?
Almost every time, I guess.
Every time.
Almost every time once?
Almost.
And that's the news to Dad, right?
What's the most recent time you've made love in your parents' home?
Probably a week ago.
A week ago. And where were your mom and dad?
My dad was probably at work. I don't know where my mom was.
What room of the house?
My room.
Your room. Do you have like a Barbie phone and stuff like that?
No.
Do you have like Spice Girl posters on your wall?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. All right. What was the next yes, Buzz?
She said yes to number 5.
Oh, the interracial sex. Yes, tell me about this Latino fellow.
That's your boyfriend, right?
Yes, he's Puerto Rican.
He's Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican.
Like Angelo, like Leah Remini's Angelo.
And like Charlie Stossel.
And
right?
Yes, Puerto Rico's Charlie Stossel.
And Ricky Martin, the 3 hottest Puerto Rican men on the planet.
That's right.
Angelo, Ricky, and Charlie.
Do you think Ricky Martin's gay?
Yes, I do.
Very good, thank you.
What was the next yes, Buzz?
7 was a yes.
Number 7, you ever had sex in a public place? What's the public place you had sex, Beth?
There's a church near my house.
Oh, my God! Winner! We have a winner!
Hallelujah.
Oh, man.
You had sex in a church?
Not in a church.
In the parking lot.
Yeah. In the parking lot.
Yeah, that might count as the car. Was it in the car in the parking lot? Okay. You might, when the day of judgment comes, you might get an exemption on that one.
Okay.
Thank God it wasn't inside.
Okay.
What was the next yes button?
Number eight.
Number eight.
Have you been filmed or photographed while having sex? Tell us about that, Beth.
My boyfriend has a camcorder.
Is your boyfriend, do you think, Beth, going to be allowed anywhere near your house after this, if your dad's listening?
Probably not, but hopefully he's not off work yet.
You've broken up with this guy before, right?
Yes.
This Puerto Rican guy?
Yes.
When you broke it up with him before, did he, like, steal your hubcaps or anything?
Did he steal my hubcaps?
Never mind. Never mind.
Does he still have the tapes? That would be my question.
I have the tapes.
You have the tapes.
Very smart.
That's very smart.
You hold on to those,
Beth. I'm not going to let him have that. I'm smarter than that.
Very smart.
The tapes of you having straight sex, or...
Yes.
Will the what will the boyfriend think of this interview right now? Is he a fan of the show?
I'm not
going
to mention it to him. I don't think.
Okay, so he's probably not listening right now.
He's probably not listening right now.
I think you'll find though that it's like a chain. Someone will hear it who will tell someone who knows him.
He does listen to the show though. So.
He'll get back to it.
Very good.
What was the next yes buzz?
Number 10 was a yes.
Number 10. Oh, do you swallow?
Yes.
All the time?
Not all the time, but I used to. Always swallow.
Oh, God.
Like what, when you were 14, 15?
Oh, my God.
I guess, yeah, when I was 15.
Oh, okay. Oh dear.
What's the next question, Buzz?
I don't remember.
What was the number?
Number 12 is the next yes.
Oh, sex in a car.
The church.
Oh, in the church.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the other yes would have to be the one-night stand.
13.
Yeah, the one-night stand. Could you tell us about that?
Well, there was three of those since... He was my only boyfriend.
Oh, so there's the one boyfriend and just three one-night stands.
So never any of this is...
And I regret those, no, you know.
Sure.
And the boyfriend is the only really long-term relationship? And how is how would you characterize the relationship right now? Is it serious?
It's good. I plan on staying with him.
You do? Yeah. All right, very good.
Good. Well, what wouldn't he like about it? She swallows, he gets to take movies of her.
It's incredible, but she gets to keep the tapes.
Yes.
They do it in her little girl bedroom at home when mom and dad aren't there.
Oh,
they do it in a church parking lot.
Jesus. You've been very honest, Beth, and we appreciate it.
Yes, we applaud that.
Well, bravo. Well,
you'll have a bright future with the show.
Yes, absolutely.
Very nice, Beth.
This, you know, you will find if you pursue a career in broadcasting, this may very well have been the most difficult moment for you. It might be all downhill from here. Absolutely.
Honesty is always the best policy. Thank you for being honest,
Beth.
Thank you. Bye-bye. See ya.
There she goes. That's Beth.
That's Beth. She'll be on the telephone today with Toya.
And tomorrow we have another sex quiz.
Yes. Oh, and listen, the girl tomorrow, Lisa, she is a total nympho. I bet we're going to get all yeses from Lisa.
She's told you that she's a total nympho?
No, I've heard that.
Ah, really?
Through
the grapevine.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Hello from the Minister of Information.
Ah, very good.
Hello, Jason.
Hey, Don and Mike, what's going on?
Hey, buddy. You know what? I just want to say, I was totally surprised.
Oh, I was too.
By the answers to those questions from young Beth.
The number of yeses.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I've had sex in a church before when I was growing up.
In the church?
Yes, I have. In the bathroom of the church.
In the bathroom of the church.
And it was the girl's first time. I swear to God.
Oh, all right, well, you know what? I would just like to say for the record that I don't think that's as bad as if you, like, did it in a pew. You know what I mean? I don't think
in the
I could look up
room.
I don't think I could look up and see the stained glass.
That might be one, you know, I who knows,
there might be stained glass when you're done though.
It was behind the actual you know, where the pulpit where they preach at.
You might
down in the back.
You might live a wonderful life, you know, and just go through doing incredibly good works and adopting people and taking care of people. Then at the very end, you know, when your judge is like, you know, I've never seen a better life than this, but there was that one move where in my house, yeah, you know, you never know.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, I think I'm going to be sick. I've got a stepdaughter approaching sexual age, and you know how they dress provocatively when they start going out, and then you hear what the little whores are doing when they're going out in their punk boyfriend's cars, and there's nothing you can do about it. They do it in the house.
Well, how old is your daughter?
Huh?
How old is your daughter?
15.
15.
Well, I mean, well, that's young to consider her sexually active.
Well,
you'd still be able you know.
Well, you just heard this girl. She's swallowing at 15.
I know how this guy feels. I know exactly
how he
feels.
And you drive to any high school and you see...
Terrifying.
To what?
It's terrifying, isn't it? I just want to say how refreshingly different it is to be the father of a son.
Well, that's why you don't have a problem with
my son is 15.
When you're doing this, I seriously...
I don't have a problem with it.
I have to be totally honest with you. When you're interviewing an 18-year-old girl on this show...
She's a college freshman, Mike.
I want to run out of the studio, run down the street with my hands up in the air and say, "Stop it!"
College freshman.
It scares the crap out of me. Sure. And my kids aren't even, you know, they're not even in elementary school yet.
When you hear her talk, she talks like a 12-year-old. She says the word probably. That's probably.
Okay, all right, stop it. Now you're giving me the heebie-jeebies. Right, you stop it, you.
She's a whore.
No, she's not.
She's not a whore.
She's not a whore.
She's not a whore.
Your daughter's a whore.
Daughter's out giving BJs right now. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
I'm Jack Cassidy, and I only hire male babysitters.
Hi, Jack Cassidy. Hello, Derek.
Hello?
Hello. Hi, please turn your radio down because you're on the air.
Okay, hold on.
Big knob, please turn it all the way to the left.
Okay, it is off. Yeah, I have an experience yesterday. Me and my girlfriend went to a restaurant, and she ordered a salad, and it was rotten leaves. So she returned the salad, and when it came back, she had honey mustard dressing.
Yes.
Sticky. And she swore up and down that they spit in her salad because she returned the meal. And I had told her that before, that if you return your meal, they're going to spit in your meal.
Right. No, that's very true, sir. You never return anything in a restaurant. Otherwise, they're going to do something to it. Thank
and
you.
I told her, no, this is honey dressing. It's sticky. It's not.
Well, you just have to get concerned if the waiter or waitress walks over to your table and says, "Who had the loogie mustard?"
Hello.
Hello, Karen.
Yes.
Hi.
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 I just wanted to tell you, I did it in a seminary with a seminarian.
Wow. Wow, you popped it. Did you pop his cherry?
No.
Now, that's a guy who's
studying for the priest.
Going to school to be a priest, right?
Exactly.
Wow.
Well, if it was an Episcopalian or something, those dudes are allowed to have wives and have sex and everything.
No, he was Catholic.
Catholic.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, dear.
Well, better you than a little boy.
Hey, do you know if he finished up? Did
he didn't.
He didn't make it.
Wash
well,
out.
It doesn't matter.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Jennifer.
He's a bishop now.
Hello. Jennifer, hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
How are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
Good. I just thought you'd want to know. I just got back from a bookstore, and...
Did you have sex there?
No. Okay. No, I was looking
at... Did you leave a tip?
Huh?
That's nothing. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was looking in Vanity Fair magazine, and there's a pretty interesting picture of Jennifer Aniston.
Honey, I've got it in front of me encased in plastic.
Okay.
I've replaced my picture of Leah Remini. My new inspiration every day is looking at the picture of the heavenly body, Jennifer Aniston, virtually nude.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you saw it.
Every day.
Better. Have a good one.
It's almost better than nude. That picture is so erotic.
I mean, you see everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, you don't see her... You know,
place,
but you see her boobs.
Perfect.
I mean, 100%.
She had like a waterfowl or a shower.
Yeah,
or
under a waterfall.
Waterfall.
Under a waterfowl. Hello, Wes.
Yes, Don Mike.
Yeah, bud.
I was thinking foul, something. Foul, deaf spirits.
Foul, deaf spirits come out.
Out.
Yes, Wes.
Yes. I just want to totally agree with Mike on the daughter situation. Mine's going to a convent also.
No, I thought it wouldn't matter, you know, having them young, is so young that it wouldn't matter. No, it's just that you have them and you know that this is going to be part of the reality down the road. It doesn't matter. It's
someday, just, some guy's going to break them in. You know that.
Oh, I know that, but, you know, I'm still stressing out about it now and she's only two.
Mike, in your case, I'm sure, you know, so you don't jump over the counter and pound me. I'm sure it will be, you know, the man that they marry.
Yeah, thank you, Don.
But eventually,
thank you very much.
On the wedding night.
Yeah, even that I don't. I'm not going to allow it.
That man.
Oh, God.
Make them ride the baloney pony.
Oh, God.
Hello, Susan.
Hi, honey.
Hi, honey.
In the choir loft in a Catholic church.
Oh, you had sex in the choir loft?
That's in the room.
Oh, right. Yes, sir.
All right, that is.
Amen.
That's a violation. I believe that might get you in trouble.
Oh, what's that? Anybody smell that? That's the smell of burning flesh.
Hell in a handbasket.
That might get you in trouble.
Special-made handbasket just for me.
Buzz, have you had sex in a church?
No, I haven't. I was seduced in a church, but I didn't actually have sex there.
What do you mean you were seduced in a church?
I kept trying, honey.
By Mrs. Robinson. Hey, did you see the picture of speaking of Mrs. Robinson?
Kathleen Turner?
See that picture in People magazine?
Yeah.
Puffy.
Who seduced you in a church?
The woman who eventually became my wife. That's how we met, actually.
Marcia seduced you in a church?
Yeah, we met in church, and, you know, things went from there.
Really?
Yes.
Did she, like, do anything to you in the church?
No, she was just, you know, coming on to me. It was, you know, it was obvious, and it happened.
Really?
Later,
in church?
Elsewhere.
Coming on to you in church?
Yes.
How did your wife come on to you
was
in church?
Was it a church social?
No.
Chicken dinner?
It was a drama class in the basement, and I think we were doing makeup, and I think she was on the floor on her knees in front of me as I sat in a chair.
The nasty.
I believe that's how that happened.
I can see, I mean, no offense, obviously, where your wife could be very seductive in that way.
Yes, she can.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So she was on her knees in front of you applying makeup, to your
penis? Genitals.
No, to my face.
To your face.
Yeah.
Why was she on her knees, though?
A height thing, so that her hands would be at my face level.
Ah, so she was reaching up to you, looking up at you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really? What's that?
And then what did she say to you?
Well, for one thing, she said she had a convertible, which I thought was pretty exciting, and then I found out it was a Volkswagen convertible. But she invited me over for drinks and food and, you know, whatever happened after that.
And you were, 14 at the time?
No, I think I was 20.
Did you have sex with her right away that night?
I think within 24 hours of that, yeah.
Way to go.
Wow.
He's the Donald Trump of sex. He closes the deal.
Thank you.
And you've been married now,
will you believe this? This summer, 25 years.
Wow. That's something.
Jesus H. Christ.
Is that silver?
Arsenic, I think.
That's the silver wedding anniversary,
yes.
Buzz.
Yes, it is.
That's like what old people celebrate.
Old people have
those. And then right after that, didn't you get shipped off to Germany to serve our country in WW2?
Yes, I fought the good fight.
And then when you came back, Marcia was waiting for you.
Most people won't, will be in World War II. Come on, you're giving them too much credit. People must remember Buzz's novel, All Quiet on the Western Front.
We're going to do some news and comment now, although I see that we have people who've had sex on tombstones in the church cemetery.
I think that lady that did it in the choir, that might be more trouble.
Hold on, Buzz. Kevin, you had sex on a tombstone?
Yes, I did, down in Mikers. At college, the entire church was built on the cornerstone of this one guy's pretty much tombstone. It was a flat grave. We had sex on this grave under the church.
Sex on a grave. All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Certainly done. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, there wasn't much of that story. Buzz, what is your lead story?
The Lewinsky investigation is still on, and we're still paying for it.
All right, really. Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
Speaking of our friend Tony Perkins from Good Morning America.
Good guy.
You know, tomorrow and Thursday, both days, we'll be doing the show from New York.
Right.
From WNEW-FM. We'll find out exactly where the station is located so we can tell you so you can come down and do stuff with us.
Absolutely.
On Thursday, I think that's when our doors will be open to all New Yorkers to come down and play our crazy reindeer game.
Wonderful.
Listen, I'm going somewhere with this. That when we go to New York, we're going to take the shuttle up tomorrow morning, do the show tomorrow, and then get done. We wanted to go out to dinner tomorrow night with Opie and Anthony.
That's correct.
Do the afternoon show at NEW. It turns out one of those guys has family in town or something, so they can't make it.
Uh-huh.
So I believe we're going to dinner with Tony Perkins tomorrow night.
Well, wonderful. Tony's a good guy, good friend. I've known Tony for years.
Take him out and get him real drunk before he has to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do the weather at Good Morning America.
Come on, Tony, stay later. Come on, stay just a little bit later.
Well, actually, Broyhill did the inviting and just told me that it was more of an invitation since he was pretty positive that Tony Perkins wouldn't be able to go out to dinner because he has to get up so early. But he said, no, he'd love to come to
he's
dinner.
He's in the same boat we're in up there. His family lives down here, and he goes up there. So he's up there. When he's up there, he's working.
And we'll find out tomorrow night at dinner. The reason he can't come to the studio tomorrow to NEW to be on our first show from New York is because he's doing something for VH1 because they're doing a male version of Divas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not dudes, but they are doing a male version of Divas, and somehow he's involved in it.
Big-time network TV guy.
So we'll find out about that tomorrow.
I knew him when he was nothing.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Just when you thought it was over, it's not. The man who is now our independent counsel says, as far as he's concerned, the investigation into President Clinton and Monica Lewinsky is still open.
This is sad.
What does Mark Shimura think about that, though?
I'm sure he disapproves.
Yeah, hey there, not president there.
This independent counsel says he is thinking seriously about trying to get the president indicted on criminal charges after Mr. Clinton leaves office in January. Robert W. Ray says he may have to spend another $3.5 million over the next 6 months.
Well, you know what Monica said.
Mm-hmm. She's upset, too.
She's not really upset. She doesn't seem to care anymore. But she's spelling something out.
All right, she just wrote the letter I.
I.
Okay, now what's the next letter, Monica?
D. D, it looks like a stack of pancakes.
She's writing in cursive. D-O.
D-O.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
It's amazing how she can actually string them together. Oh, man. She got a lot of letters there. I think that's an apostrophe next to the N, too.
I D-O-N. Cross it. T. Okay. I don't.
Don't.
I don't. She's writing all of this with her feces.
Okay.
C.
C.
C. Okay, what comes after C? Monica?
Oh.
A. Okay. I don't see a...
I don't ca? Oh, you're coming more.
That's fancy.
She's writing two letters there.
R. E.
I don't care.
I don't care.
Hey, she spelled it out for us.
Oh, wait, but there's more.
Yes?
A punctuation. Exclamation point.
The proper thing to do.
I don't care.
I love it when she writes her exclamation points.
Now,
it's a beautiful thing.
If he does spend $3.5 million over the next 6 months, that'll be up from the $3 million taxpayer dollars that were spent in the past 6 months while the rest of us thought it was all over. 44 people are still working on the so-called case, according to the Washington Post, and $52 million have been spent on this so far.
She just underlined it.
Oh, boy, that was like the John Hancock signature.
She just underlined it. I don't care. Big underline.
Big squiggly underline. That was nothing. No writing at all.
No. Oh, huh. It's just a squiggle.
The wife of...
Monica, come on.
Enough.
Put a sock in it.
Please, Monica, knock it off.
Now you just made her angry.
Well, now it looks like just a child scribbling,
guys.
It's illegible.
All right, hold on. She's drawing something.
Are you doing all sorts of... Is that a face?
It's a circle.
Okay.
Hold on. You might be right. Yeah. Oh, look, she's doing a happy face.
Oh, that's
happy
nice.
She's doing the smiley happy face.
Oh,
it's not smiley. Oh, there it is. Okay. Thank you, Monica.
All done.
Very, very nice.
The wife is...
She's back.
Just when you think she's finished, she's not.
This is how she designs purses, you know.
She's giving him a body. Little stick arms.
So artistic. That's only one arm.
Okay. You gotta do another arm, honey.
Well, she's just getting sloppy now.
It's like he's wearing a polka dot suit.
And unless he's Regis Philbin's son, you better give him some legs.
Please do. One.
Okay, well, you gotta give him one more leg, Monica.
I think one leg might be longer than the other.
Monica Lewinsky's anal art.
There we are.
Okay, thank you, Monica.
Cute little stick figure.
Beautiful.
The wife of TV's Montel Williams threw his clothes out of their house yesterday, according
to
the New York Post.
She's a former stripper, isn't she?
She was a dancer, as a matter of fact, and the lady he was spotted with is also a former exotic dancer. Well, all of this, the clothes being thrown out of the house after the National Enquirer showed the missus pictures of Montel and a Swedish model in Canada together.
Montel, Letterman, Leno.
Montel and his...
Mike Douglas.
Only a white man ever made me moist.
I omit it. Montel and his wife Grace actually separated last fall, but until yesterday, his clothes were still in his Connecticut home. The missus reportedly thought they could work things out, but then the tabloids got involved. The couple separated after Montel revealed he has multiple sclerosis. They have two kids, a 6-year-old boy and a 4-year-old girl.
That's pretty good. Multiple sclerosis and multiple partners.
Yeah. I hope nothing's wrong with Oprah.
Yeah.
She doesn't look real.
Ain't nothing wrong, Oprah. I seen Oprah on our copy last week with a picture of hell. Got a tall, young, strong gentleman named Stedman, so handsome. He's my favorite out of all of them. Jenny Jones, Marilyn Kagan, Maury Povich, Letterman, Leno, Montel, Ricky Lake,
Colorado.
Mike Douglas. Oh, Mike Douglas. You know, Mike Douglas used to make me moist when I watched his show. I admit it, I would get moist when I watched his show. Only white man ever did that to me was Mike Douglas.
Only white man ever did that to me was Buzz Burbank. I'm a very moist Buzz. Hold on, please.
All right.
We'll do this. We'll come back with lots more news, lots more topics.
This is you, Don and Mike.
I'm pretty sure that tomorrow when we're up in New York, that Greg Brady's going to come by.
Very nice.
Barry Williams, who we've had on the show like a million times, but he's going to be in New York and wants to come by.
Very nice for Barry.
So we'll ask him for the 100th time about boning Florence Henderson.
Yeah, supposedly they had a little fling.
Next Monday, in studio, we'll finally get our shot at Rick Rockwell.
Rick Rockwell, who his 15 minutes seem to be lengthening.
Well, if he's on this show, that means he's
towards the end.
He's in the 14-minute and 50-odd second route.
And it also shows that he really doesn't have a microphone he doesn't like.
No. Coming on this show next Monday, also next week from The Daily Show, Lewis Black. Very funny,
yeah.
Very angry man.
With his fingers moving all the time when he talks.
And now here's Buzz, also very funny, very angry.
Yes.
Very sexual man, Buzz Burbank.
One newspaper says Whitney Houston showed up at the Arista Records anniversary party last night, relaxed and velvety voiced. But the Associated Press says she tripped on stage, stopped in the middle of I Will Always Love You to ask for a drink, and often spoke the lyrics to her songs instead of singing them as she covered a half dozen hits.
Here she is now.
Houston. AP says husband Bobby Brown brought Whitney a glass of water when she asked for that drink.
Yeah,
I'm chilling down with the two fat men.
Newsweek magazine reported that Arista President Clive Davis was so concerned about a possible drug problem that last week he asked Whitney's family to do an intervention. Whitney got...
Whitney, this is Clive.
Would you please pee into this jar for me?
Just do it for me.
Whitney,
it's Clive.
Whitney, it's...
CD, me, Clive Davis.
Listen, Jim Elliot and I are very concerned. Now, you might be high on stage. We're doing an intervention right now. Jim is on the telephone with me.
He has the Dixie cup.
Hi, Whitney, I've got a giant cup that I want you to relieve yourself into.
Now, Whitney, I'm, of course, the founder of Arista Records, and you know that Jim is the promotion manager.
Has anyone seen my $60,000 automobile?
Now, I can hold the cup, or Jim can hold the cup, whoever you feel most comfortable with.
The stock market has been very good to Jim Elliott.
And to Clive Davis.
Very nice, Whitney. Get it together. Come on now. Put a little feeling. Get down, mama.
I've got a great idea for a new song for Whitney. It goes like this. Now, you tell me, Jim. You're the disc jockey.
Yeah, go ahead, Clive. Yes, Clive. Hello, Clive.
Come on. Shake, rattle, and roll.
Oh, yes. I like it.
It's the Get Yourself Out of Bed in the Morning song.
Get down, mama. And Whitney, the drugs. Let's bury that. Come on now.
Whitney got bummed from the Oscar show because of strange behavior at rehearsal. She also failed a show at a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremony in New York. She left the stage last night saying to the audience, "The record's not over yet, remember?"
Jim, it's Clive. Pick up, please.
Hello, yes, Clive. Your wish is my command. Hi there, hi.
I'm pretty sure she was high last night.
Oh, that's taking the sunshine out of my day. I'll get right on it, Clive. Hi, Whitney. Jim Elliott here.
And Larry Linville is dead at the age of 60.
Oh, no. Frank Burns?
The actor who played the power-hungry, tattletale Major Frank Burns on TV's Max.
Everybody repeat after me.
Mm-hmm.
B.
B.
F.
F.
D.
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 He was on the show in its first 5 years. He passed away on Sunday.
Martha Stewart.
And not a person will care.
Martha Stewart.
I mean, really?
MASH lovers everywhere will be touched by this.
Who loves MASH?
Somebody, I'm just sure. Martha Stewart.
Please don't look at me like that. Don't tell me you are a big MASH lover.
In its early days, when it had McLean Stevenson, it was a funny show. It wore out its welcome, like many great sitcoms do.
Maybe 20 episodes are good.
That's probably right. I think two or three seasons were good.
As soon as Klinger started wearing a baseball hat,
yes,
that's when the show went downhill.
That was deep into it, though.
Linville left before that.
Yeah, Linville was on during the early days. Yeah, he was great. I mean, he was great on that show. He was a great ween on that show.
Yes, hello.
It's Clive David for Jim Elliot.
Hi there, Clive.
I've got some awful news.
Share it with me. Give it to me quick.
Larry Linville's dead.
Oh, the humanity. No, no. That was my favorite part of MASH. Damn, why? Why? Why?
And Whitney's drinking again.
Oh, let's bury that.
Martha Stewart says she's moving out of her home in Westport, Connecticut because the neighbors, she says, are so unfriendly.
Oh, like, you're like Buff Daddy?
Stewart's lived in that house for 28 years, but she says she's tired of the unfriendly atmosphere and the long commute into New York City.
They're not nice to me. They're not nice to me. The neighbors are very mean. It's not a good thing.
I'd love to live next door to Puff Daddy. There'd be a party going on every night.
Constantly.
Jennifer Lopez, big ass, bounding up and down the driveway.
Look at that woman wearing just a skirt and her boobies. Her boobies are hanging out.
Martha tells the New York Times she'll probably live in Manhattan, but she says she hasn't ruled out a nearby suburb either.
Kind of cool, because, like, we're going to Manhattan.
You can knock on her door.
Hello, Martha. Hello, we're Dan and Mike. Come out and play.
Please. It finally happened. Warren Beatty and Annette Bening are the proud parents of a healthy new baby girl. The 41-year-old actress gave birth to their fourth child in a Los Angeles hospital.
This little girl has knockers.
The new baby doesn't have a name yet, or if it does, they haven't told us.
Knockers Beatty.
The other kids are 8, 6, and 3.
Knockers Beatty.
Katie Couric's contract with the Today Show doesn't run out for another couple of years, but NBC wants to make sure she's around for at least another 4. So it's offering a contract extension, reportedly for $10 million a year.
A tidy sum, Mr. Bigglesworth.
She now makes 7. Christ. You knew her when. That means she makes as much as Tom Brokaw now and Dan Rather and Diane Sawyer.
They're not going to like that.
The Today Show makes over $75 million in profit for NBC every year.
Our show makes more.
According to USA Today.
Hey, listen, and yeah, now that we're on in New York, it'd be a good time for us to say very loudly into these microphones, hey, Katie Couric, way to turn your back on us for the last 7 years.
Come and visit us. Please, come and visit us when we're in New York.
Hey, Katie Couric.
Come on, Katie.
Don't you remember?
I'm sorry. Jim Elliot has just arrived to beg Katie Couric. We were the first ones. We were the first ones you did a network piece for.
Katie, this is Clive David from Eric the Record. Don't you remember when you were just a local pixie on Channel 4 when Don and Mike would call you up all the time and ask you what kind of underpants you were wearing?
Katie, come on now. You're a big star, but let's bury that.
And Katie, don't you remember how you got your big break at NBC News when you did that story about how Don and Mike were the first disc jockeys to broadcast to Russia, and then someone put it on the nightly news, and then just a few weeks later you got the job on the Today Show?
Hey, Katie, come on now. Put a little sunshine in their day. Put a little feeling. Stop by the Don and Mike Show when they're in New York.
And Katie, don't you remember when you were just a local pixie on Channel 4? How you used to be on their show all the time, and then as soon as you got the big job, you just kind of turned your back on them.
She did come to that one thing. She came to the one anniversary show.
Well, that's before she was big. That's when she was still the pixie.
Wasn't she?
No, she was still the pixie of Channel 4 when she came to our 5th anniversary show in a blizzard. She was the only celebrity who showed up, and I guarantee that's the show.
She wasn't on the Today Show at that point?
No. That's the show where we gave away...
She called us after she was on the Today Show.
Once.
One time?
Once.
You have a memory?
One time.
You have a memory like an elephant.
He does.
One time. And the show that she came down to, where we could get no other guest to come to because it was in a blizzard, was the show where we gave away plastic combs.
I remember that.
Yeah. Katie
and then
Couric.
The big present, remember the big, what was the big present we got from Alan Goodman? Do you remember that?
Yes, the 300-pound guy who had Don and Mike written on the inside of his ass cheeks.
Remember that? It was funny, but then after the funniness wore off, we realized we weren't getting any kind of gifts. That was back when anniversary shows were a big deal.
We don't do anniversary shows anymore.
We don't do them.
And
nobody commemorates the anniversary on any level, anywhere.
To show you the timeline, that was our 5th anniversary show. You and I are now starting our 15th year of doing the show together. I always know that because...
It'll be 15 years in December?
Right.
All right.
Because it's always around the same time that Bart was born.
And it's always around the wintertime.
Right. And if you think 10 years ago we had our 5th anniversary show, that's when Katie Couric came down during the snowstorm 10 years ago.
And it was just like right after that. That she got the
job on the Today Show.
Yeah, you're right.
Turned her back on us. Totally turned her back on us.
Forever and ever.
And now look at that. Now she shows her bum to everybody on television.
Mm-hmm.
But she can't call her old buddies Don and Mike.
Well, I like to hold out hope that maybe things can change.
Well, I don't doubt she's probably ashamed. You know, now she's She's Katie Couric from the Today Show. She doesn't want people to know that 10 years ago, when she was just a hottie on Channel 4.
Right.
So we used to call her up and ask her about her underpants all the time.
Yeah, doesn't need to worry about us anymore.
She's the $10 million lady now.
She's very, very
sad. Imagine how many underpants she can buy with $10 million.
It's incredible. She can change underwear like 7-8 times during a show.
And she's cheap. Katie Couric's very cheap, too.
Really?
I bet that she takes all that money and just puts it right in the bank.
Absolutely.
Probably.
She probably lives in a shack like Regis's daughter.
Christy Hefner, head of her dad's Playboy empire, was putting the hard sell on the Chicago City Council today.
I always applaud Christy Hefner because she keeps her father's legacy. You know, she keeps the torch burning at Playboy. She's a very good daughter.
She's trying to get the Chicago City Council to name a street after Hef.
Mm-hmm.
A sign proclaiming Hugh Hefner Way would be erected not
Boner Boulevard.
Erected,
yes.
Get it? Not far from where he launched his magazine back in 1953.
I'm very pleased. This is Hugh Hefner. Very pleased that they've erected all of these signs proclaiming Hefner Boulevard.
It's quite an erection, sir.
I'm very delighted that the sign will not be a standard street sign, but it will be in the shape of a phallus. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The City Council Committee voted against the sign yesterday, with Alderwoman Carrie Austin saying she could not support honoring, and I quote, a person that has earned his money on the backs of women.
Buzz, that's unacceptable, Buzz.
Is it?
See, there's something you can do.
I'm working. Actually, you have the mayor on your side. Mayor Daley in Chicago says just because you don't like Hefner doesn't mean we can't name a street after him.
Yes, Mayor Daley has stacks of Playboys in his closet at home and in his attic, going back to 1971.
Every issue, right?
Every issue, yes. He's particularly fond of the long, willowy brunette in front of the fireplace.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yes, no, with a perfect triangle, I would mind, mind telling you.
Bingo!
My favorite centerfold.
That's the triangle era.
There you are.
So many names came out of the woodwork to play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. There'll be 4 celebrity editions instead of 3. The names include Vanessa Williams, Drew Carey, Rosie O'Donnell, Emeril Lagasse, Queen Latifah, David Duchovny, Dana Carvey, Ray Romano, and one of the guys from NSYNC.
Although, give me those again, because I'm going to tell you who's a real celebrity and who's not.
You're right.
Whether they're real or not, who's happening now and whose star is falling.
That's what I mean by saying, okay, slowly give them to me again.
Vanessa Williams.
No.
Not so much.
Not a celebrity anymore.
Drew Carey.
Hanging on by his fingertips.
Rosie O'Donnell.
No.
Emeril Lagasse.
Absolutely not.
Queen Latifah.
Sorry, no.
David Duchovny.
Hanging on by his fingertips.
Dana Carvey.
No.
Ray Romano.
Yes.
There's one.
Big star.
And one of the guys from NSYNC. I didn't even bother to write down his name.
No. So out of that whole list, the only real star that I see is Ray Romano.
Ray Romano is just the top of his game.
And what about Connie Lee Gifford? Isn't she playing?
She is playing, and she may have surprised Regis by using Michael Gelman as her lifeline. She and Gelman have never gotten along very well, so Regis was surprised to hear that. The Celebrity Millionaire series runs the first week in May with stars playing for charity.
Now aren't we all patting ourselves on the back? I mean, my God, using Gelman. I mean, can it get any more? You know, that show, when did those people become so big?
And you know that she did it just to try to screw Regis over.
Yeah.
There's probably a question that she would know. The end. What are the colors of the American flag? My Reg, I'm going to have to use a lifeline. I'm going to call Michael Gelman.
What's that guy? Who's that other fossil that stands next to
Art Moore.
Is Art Moore going to, like, anchor the ABC Evening News now? I mean, are their tentacles going to be wrapped around everything at that now? Just because one
Art
stupid
Moore,
game show was a hit?
Art Moore is the Rob Spiewak of the Regis and Kathie Lee Show. Just a guy who stands around a lot.
Right.
And smiles.
Art Moore.
That's Rob Spiewak. Same person.
Absolutely. Hi, Art.
Hi, guys.
It's not right guys being arrested outside Fenway Park for selling Red Sox tickets at below face value, but it happened. People trying to unload their Red Sox tickets for face value or less have been arrested repeatedly. One guy says he was manhandled by police over his attempt to recover the whopping sum of $18. And a judge has just ruled in that guy's favor.
Well, you mean these guys are scalping tickets for less than they paid?
Just to get rid of them, just to get their money back to try to sell them.
That's done at every ballpark in the country.
Right, but in Boston, they're roughing guys up for doing
this. That's not right. You know, boy, they screw with everybody up there. They really do. The vendors, they had a big dispute with the vendors that have been doing it for a million years, selling like sausages out there. They wanted to kick them out. They wanted the Red Sox management. Well, that has to do with the team's management, I think.
Right, well, now that this judge
judge has ruled in favor of this guy who says he was roughed up by cops for trying to sell his tickets at face value. Now the police say they'll only bust the chops of guys who try to sell Red Sox tickets for more than face value.
Oh,
so it's all in the price now.
The Red Sox.
Off to a great start. That World Series prediction has, as I thought it might, bitten me in the ass.
Hey, listen, I got a great story. Maybe we'll do this today. A guy with a computer. I know we've called this guy before.
Right.
It's like the guy who predicted that the Rick Rockwell, Darva Conger marriage had a 50% chance of of actually happening.
Bad predictions.
Yeah, and the guy who predicted that the Star Wars movie would make more than Titanic.
Right.
The same guy in his computer, he sent us a press release today that he's predicted that the Red Sox will win the World Series this year.
God.
And they will beat the Atlanta Braves 4 games to 2. His computer also predicts that Sammy Sosa will hit 59 home runs and Maguire will hit 54.
Interesting. And this is all done with a program that he's got, right?
Yes, his computer.
Oh, boy.
His computer. We'll call him.
It's more jinx. Here's a lawbreaker's excuse you don't normally hear. My mom made me do it. An 18-year-old suspect in Florida says he did a string of burglaries because the woman he calls mom told him he'd have to bring in money if he wanted to stay with her. He says she even showed him how to break in. The woman is a 37-year-old who has now skipped town.
And wait a minute, hold on, this can't be true. It says Jim Elliott's on line 4.
Oh, really?
It could be true.
That'd be great.
No, he's not in town, is he?
I don't know.
Hello?
Hello. Good morning.
That's him. There are certain people you recognize as soon as they call. This is one of them.
How are you guys?
Hey, Jim.
They still let you guys do a show every day?
Jesus Christ. Jim,
well, if Clinton got away with what he did, I guess you guys could survive another day.
Are you here or are you there?
No, I'm sitting right now. In Los Angeles, in the Aristar offices, here's what happened. You know, now I'm a vice president of promotion with Arista Records, and I talk to stations around the country, and you guys are being so successful that I hear from guys I deal with at top 40 stations around the country, and I just got a call from the morning guy in Rochester, New York. I'm sitting out here in L.A., and he calls me and he says, your buddies are busting on you right now.
No, with you and Clive talking about Whitney Houston.
Yes, we were doing an impression of you and Clive asking Whitney for an intervention. That's what we were doing.
For a drug sample.
Absolutely.
Well, let me straighten something. I mean, because she is our artist. She sold God knows how many hundreds of millions of albums.
Yeah.
Last night was the taping for the Arista 25th anniversary show, which is why I'm in Los Angeles. And it's going to be a 2-hour NBC special in May. And I think everybody last night, especially after the People cover, which has worried a lot of people.
Yeah, we saw that today, as a matter of fact.
There was, she came out, and everybody was holding their breath a little bit to see what she would do. And she came out, and she comes on stage and tripped on the back of her dress.
Whoops.
Which I've seen her do before. Her dresses are too long, I'm sorry. And she gave a great performance. And somebody after her performance said to me, I bet the headline's going to be tomorrow, Whitney stumbles onto stage. And I was talking with my mother-in-law in Baltimore this morning, and the first thing she said to me was, I read in the newspaper that Whitney was falling all over the place.
What about the thing that she spoke a lot of the lyrics and that she talked through some of the songs? How was it up to her? Was the performance up to her usual standards?
I thought she did a great job. I must say, I've seen her better, but not much better. It was real good. Yes, she asked for a glass of water before I Will Always Love You. But face it, as singers, as people that use their voices, as you know, as I know from the past, you know, you like to keep the old chords refreshed.
As the vice president, what is your title now? You're the
vice president.
Vice president promotion, Arista Records.
I'm still fooling them, boy. I did it on the radio, and now I do it in this business.
As the vice president of promotion for Arista Records, was Whitney Houston high last night?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. That's your opinion.
I definitely don't think
so. Okay, very good. All right. Well, we got it.
And also, speaking as someone who, and it's, hey, look, it's public knowledge, as someone who has been there.
Hey, join the club, Jim.
And has faced those demons, I think that I would know. And no, I thought she was real good and had her act together, for use of a better word, last night.
Beautiful.
You know, and it was, and the whole thing with Clive is just wonderful. That you know, he's leaving Arista, and in certainly looks that way in a couple of months.
Is there any truth to the rumor that you will be named head of Arista Records?
Oh, you know he'd love that.
If that's the case, they're in a hell of a lot of trouble.
All right.
You know, whatever. So you guys doing good? Everything's great. I hear you're doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And my goodness, now I even hear you in New York City. I can't get away from all that stuff about me and Gladys and eating the pizza out of the damn garbage can.
No, listen, I want to tell you something. We have not told the story about you eating the pizza out of the garbage can
since I never did.
I just want to point out, you brought it up. We didn't bring that up.
Do we have that tape, though, that we played just a few moments ago? He'd love to hear that tape.
Hey, where's the tape of Gladys?
We have a special tape for you, Jim, that's a blast from the past that you might enjoy.
As a matter of fact, here you go. We introduced this as Whitney Houston today.
Wash your face and hands.
Get down, Mama.
I thought it was a radio.
Whitney Houston. She's not high.
She sounds great.
She just wants some water.
She says, I will always love you.
Whitney Houston.
Wake up.
There it is, Jim. That's Gladys.
All right, guys. Hey, I just wanted to touch base. You know, when I'm keeping my ears and eyes on you all
Beautiful.
The time. And
all right.
You did a great job.
All right, Jim. Hey, listen, you know what? We should really talk when we go to New York.
Oh, you guys coming up here?
All the time. We're going up there tomorrow.
Oh, Lordy. Well, I won't be back till tomorrow night, but we'll talk off the air sometime. We'll just get together, and maybe I'll pop in when you're doing a show up here.
Well, you should.
That's wonderful, Jim. We'd love that.
Have fun.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. I used to hate that guy. I don't hate him. I'm friends with him now.
That's Jim Elliott, everyone.
That's Jim Elliott.
I think we should hang with him in New York.
That would be a whole show. We would get a whole show worth of stuff talking about Jim Elliot.
The New York City tour with Jim Elliot.
Hi.
This is a lovely boutique.
Hi.
I buy my shirts here.
Hi, Jim Elliot.
Hello.
Good morning, Gladys.
Fantastic.
Hi, it's Jim Elliot this morning for Don and Mike. Let's take a phone call.
Jim, you are so good. I love you much better than Don and Mike.
Oh, now listen, Don and Mike do a fine job. I'm just filling in this week while they're on vacation.
Ha, ha, ha.
Every time he would take a phone call, though, when he would fill in for us, the phone call would always be someone saying, Jim, we wish you did the morning show, not Don and Mike.
I like Jim. I always, Jim's a fun guy. When we worked, we used to compete against him. Mm-hmm. And we kind of kicked the crap out of him in the radio department. And then he came over and worked at the station we were working at. We got to know him. He was an okay guy.
He would eat candy while he was doing live commercials for Nutrisystem.
He would. And then, but whenever I talk to Jim now, I always feel like after he gets done talking to us, we ought to go, lay on our blankie and have a graham cracker and a glass of juice.
Hi.
Hey, boys. How are you?
No, he's all right. He's really a good guy.
Very good guy.
He's a good guy. Jim Elliot. Some muckety-muck now with Arista Records.
Right.
Yes. Why don't you just hold off on the rest of that news?
You got it.
Blame it on Jim Elliot. We'll do more news later in the show. We'll be right back.
That's the intern. With their hearts full of love and their throats full of phlegm, Don and Mike.
Christine Kerner has been replaced. It took a long time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, it did take a long time.
Although, in a lot of ways, Toya is like Christine Kerner also.
Yes, yes, they're both a little naughty.
I don't think Christine was nearly as naughty as Beth, though.
I don't think so.
When Christine was on the show, we never gave sex quizzes or anything. I think we always just thought that Christine was more whole. I think in our minds, we wanted her to be more wholesome than maybe she was.
I agree. And it'll be interesting the next sex quiz when we talk to Lisa, who I do believe has the potential to be the naughtiest of all.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. I wanted to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. This is Kim.
Yes, hello, Kim.
And I wanted to talk about yesterday, your wife was talking about those T-shirts that people wear with the candies on them.
Yes, and at bachelorette parties, they're little lifesavers.
Lifesavers.
And people are, the men are supposed to suck them off for a price.
Yeah, suck them right where the woman's nipples are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was totally embarrassed. I had to wear one of those myself when I just recently got married.
Oh, you didn't have to wear one now, did you?
Well,
Now, yes. Come on now.
And you let other men suck your nipples?
With my husband there, yes.
But still you let other men suck your nipples?
They weren't sucking my nipples. They were near there. But then, you know, it was they just sewed lifesavers onto them, and they paid me money to bite them off.
Oh, okay, so it's bite them off. See, that's the way I thought it was. When you pay the money, the lifesavers are on the shirt, and you actually go by and you bite a lifesaver off. You don't... You know, because you can't sit there. It takes a while to suck a lifesaver.
I know.
You know. That would be, you know.
So they pay you for this?
Oh, yes. I made probably about $30, $40 that night.
And did most men bite the lifesavers off of your shirt?
By the end of the night, after everybody had a few drinks, they started ripping holes in the shirt because they were pulling really hard.
She's a whore.
Yeah, so you're supposed to walk up to the lifesaver and you're supposed to, you're supposed to rip the lifesaver off.
So you got paid for doing this sexual act.
Yes, I did. I also had condoms on my shirt as
well. Condoms on your nipples?
Well, they were all over. The shirt was full.
Was the shirt homemade, or did you some novelty stores sell the shirts?
Some of my sorority sisters made it.
Ah, sorority.
Gosh, yes. All right, well, thank you. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Capilea Tima.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, Tom.
Yeah.
Tom, Sacramento. Hello.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
I want to tell you about one time I was in Japan with my girlfriend, my mother-in-law, and my mother. The four of us were over there in Japan, and my girlfriend and I, my now wife, we were in a hotel room, and my mother-in-law was walking around the room, and my wife and I were underneath a blanket, and we kind of decided to throw it in kind of backside. And
Hold on,
slow down. Who's in the hotel room? You and your mother-in-law and your wife?
Exactly.
Why are you under the blanket while your mother-in-law is in the room? Did you just sneak in, or were you?
We were just kind of laying there watching TV, threw a blanket, the comforter up from the bed over, and we're just kind of snuggling, watching some TV, kind of talking to her.
Were all three of you staying in the same hotel room together?
No, my mother and I were staying in another hotel room.
I'm sorry, but we must have the Inquisition. Why were you in Japan with your future mother-in-law and your mother?
I was a delegation, actually.
A delegation?
A delegation of what?
Visiting a city over there that was...
A delegation of poor communicators?
Yeah.
What city?
I'm not going to go that far. All my friends listen to the show.
Your son's listening to the show.
No, he said all his friends are listening to the show.
Oh, his friends are listening to the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're big fans here in Sacramento.
No, wait a minute. We're just trying to blow some holes in this story. No pun intended. why did you go to Japan?
We were with a delegation. We were visiting
a delegation of what, though?
Of people. Of
why?
People from the Sacramento area.
Business, tourist, education, what?
It was like a tourist.
Like tourists. Tour. Like tourists. Yeah. So you were with a tour. It was a vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
A delegation.
A delegation.
Moron.
Please. I got a delegation in my pants.
Well, keep it out of my wife's hotel room.
All right. I had to hang up on him. I think he was going to get to a point about talking about having sex with his mother-in-law, maybe.
It sounded like he was going to talk about having sex in the bad spot.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I believe the children are future. Teach them well and let them lead the way.
Chair lady? I told you, you can only call this show when you sing like Cher and sing Cher songs.
Why do you have to limit me creatively? Why? Why can't I be other people?
No. Cher, you have to be Cher.
But Cher is a big tramp.
Be Cher.
What selection would you like me to sing?
If I could turn back time.
Okay. If I could turn back time. If I could find a way. I could dance. I don't remember the damn words. I can do a great, great Simca from Taxi. Do you want to hear it?
All right, go ahead.
Okay, hold on. Wait, give me a second.
Come on, Cher lady, your time's running out.
Okay. Oh, shoot, you got me on the spot.
Sorry. You know, you're only hanging on by a thread because Mike hates you.
Yeah, I've never said I hated her. Oh, I've never once said that.
The look on your face when she's on the telephone.
Is that what it
indicates
is?
Indicates great hatred.
It gives it away. Well, yes. I tell you, I'm not going to win a poker game with you today.
She's just hanging by a thread when she calls anyway because I like the share part.
I know you do.
But I can do without all the other. Hello, Leonard.
Yes.
Hi.
Don and Mike. Yes. Yo, God.
Leonard from Georgia.
That's it. Yes. I called a couple months ago. Well, it was probably about 6 months ago about my girlfriend, like anal sex, and I didn't, and she was really rich. You remember that topic?
Hey, Robbie, I need my neck music, please.
All right.
Hold on, please. Hold on, let me get some music.
You think this is a redneck?
Oh, please.
I think it's a brother. Yeah.
Are you a brother?
It's a brother.
No, I'm white.
Really?
I told you.
Wow.
Never doubt me.
Well, I'm not a redneck.
I never do.
Oh, yes, you are a redneck.
You know any rednecks that wear polos?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, they wear polo, but it's cut off above the navel.
Listen, I am being blinded from the light that is emitting from the back of your neck right now.
Oh, Lord.
You're a neck. It's okay, though.
I'm a college graduate, everything.
Listen, you're an inbred redneck, but it's okay. What can we do for you?
Well, I called about 6 months ago about my girlfriend was into anal sex, and I wasn't, and you gave me a reference of the guy with the brown penis. Do you remember this?
I don't remember that.
We gave you the what?
My reference name was the guy with the brown penis.
Your what name?
You gave me a reference name.
A reference name?
Yes.
Oh, the guy with the brown penis, if you ever called again?
Yeah.
Well, have you had anal sex with your girlfriend?
Oh, yeah, we're married now.
See how well that reference name worked. None of us remembered it.
The guy with the brown penis.
But congratulations, sir. Are you enjoying that?
Yes, it's quite enjoyable now because, remember, her parents owned a lot of car dealerships and she was really rich.
Yeah.
And you told me to stay with her. I was contemplating and not staying with her. Now I have the brand new 2000 BMW 325i. So it's a very good, very good situation that you
live. So do you think that it's smart to talk about it on the radio?
Oh, she's out of town.
She's out of town, but
yeah.
What about perhaps, the number of dealerships? If they own a bunch of auto dealerships, perhaps.
Are you saying that you're only with your wife because you get a new car?
Yeah.
Okay, you're saying that the only reason you marry this woman is for her money.
Exactly.
And you have sex with her in her bad spot.
In the bad spot.
And you say
that's how she likes it.
And her family owns several auto dealerships?
Yes, two.
Two, and like fathers, brothers, sisters, they all work for the family of auto dealerships?
It's a family deal, yes.
You doubted me if this guy was a redneck.
I don't know what I was thinking.
He is a Cletician of the highest order.
I'm amazed at this. Will they perhaps be listening to you right now?
No? If I'm considered a redneck in your eyes, they would be considered redneck scum, scronum or something. They're awful.
They're awful.
They're awful. Yeah.
But you've gotten a brand new 2000 BMW.
325i.
Okay. Yeah. And you're only with her because
of the money.
Because of the money.
Why are you saying this on the radio?
Well, I mean, you two are the ones who told me to stay in the relationship like 6 or 8 months ago when I called.
When we gave you the name the
man guy with the brown penis.
The man with the brown penis.
But you don't love her at all.
I care for her, but I don't love her.
You don't love her. Do you tell her that you love her?
Yeah.
You graduated from college?
Yes.
What college?
University of Georgia.
Hey. Well, I bet they feel good about themselves now.
You're a bulldog?
A bulldog all the way.
What was your major?
Business management.
Okay. All right, enough said. Gotcha. Okay. It's like getting your passport stamped.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You get a business.
Cakewalk. 4 years of nothing but partying and playing baseball.
That's right.
Do you work for the dealerships?
Yes, I do.
Do you sell cars?
No way.
No.
No, you got to work in service, right?
No, I don't. I'm just there.
No, come on. What do you do?
Basically run, I mean, deliver cars to other dealerships. Like, it's a Ford place.
He works in, you're one of the guys that if they want to run a car over to another dealership, you do that.
Exactly.
You work in service, but you don't work on cars.
No, I have no idea how to work on a car.
What is your salary? Can I be so bold as to ask you that?
Yeah, I mean, my wife also works for the dealership. We bring probably $80,000 a year together.
You bring in $80,000 a year, and you don't work in service. You don't repair cars, and you don't sell cars. So you just
drive cars.
You drive cars.
I do whatever. I'm a flunky.
Do you cheat on your wife?
Have I cheated on my wife?
No. Do you cheat on your wife?
I have, but, I mean, not since we've been married.
Do you want out of the relationship?
Oh, no.
Why?
I'm more happier than I've ever been in my life.
But don't you think that if this gets back to her, that there is a chance that this relationship might go up in smoke?
Yeah.
You know, and relatively speaking,
whatever.
$80,000's a lot of money, but that's not like marrying a goddamn millionaire.
Oh, I agree.
You could certainly, if you're just in it for the money, you could trade in and get a woman who's worth much more than $80,000.
Not in the town I live in. It's probably, I mean.
So is what, she's the richest girl in this Georgia town?
The richest girl. It's probably the richest girl in my league.
Why do you think she married you? And think carefully before you answer this question.
That's an excellent question, Mike.
Why do I think she married me?
Yes.
Well, we met in college.
No, just answer the question. That was an excellent question.
I think she loves me.
You think she loves you?
Yes.
Why?
Why?
There you go.
Yes, why?
I'm a good guy. I'm a generally nice guy.
So you sound like it.
You've just called the radio show to say that you don't love your wife.
Yeah, you married her for the money.
You give it to her in the butt. You married her for her money. and that you cheated on her.
No, I haven't cheated on her since we've been married.
You haven't cheated on her since you've been married.
Exactly.
But you cheated on her when you were dating her.
We were dating, and she knew about it.
And she knew about it. So all is out in the open.
Do you subscribe to my philosophy? Tell me this, man with a brown penis. This is my great philosophy. Eating ain't cheating. Do you subscribe to that?
No, I never subscribe to that.
You do not agree with that?
No.
And so you are with her for the money, and you're telling the world this right now. Do you think that this has the potential to destroy the relationship?
But you don't understand. You two told me this day.
No, that's not the point. You're the one that's doing all the talking. Do you think that this might, you know, being on the radio, right? Please hear me.
Okay.
Being on the radio right now, talking like this right now, don't you think that could damage the relationship?
You think I'm shooting myself in the foot?
Don't you think I could run in circles for ye? Don't you think there's a chance that being as you're calling from the small, backwards Georgia community, probably the only place in your part of Georgia that where you could buy a BMW, don't you think there'd be an off chance that somebody would say, hey, you know, that is Wilford or whatever inbred
name
you
have. That's the man with the brown penis.
Right. I heard the man with the brown penis on Donna Mike say that he doesn't love Bobby Sue or Donna Lou or what? I'm sure your wife has two names.
No, her name is Lisa.
Okay. Let's make sure that everybody knows that the woman we're talking about is Lisa.
Well, I don't think anybody listens to this station that I'm talking about.
Well, you know, you might be wrong about that.
I might be. Because y'all are well-known.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What if one of Lisa's friends happened to be listening to
that? Well, if it comes down to it, I mean, the car is in my name, I mean, and I have a separate bank account. I mean, if it comes down to it.
I am really, for a while there, I was thinking this might be all a scam. This is legit.
No, this guy's on the level.
He's totally on the level. Dude,
this is not a fake caller. This is real, man. Welcome to the Great South.
Oh, this is for real. I'm not joking.
This is totally for real.
Yeah.
How do you get along with her family?
Great. Me and her father, we play golf every Wednesday and every Sunday.
He's a golfer, thank God.
Does he think you love his daughter?
No, he knows I don't love her.
You've told her father that you don't...
He doesn't love his wife.
It's a southern tradition.
Wow.
I tell you, the pit is getting deeper.
He tells me, as long as I treat her in utmost respect, and if I cheat on her while we're married, he will make me divorce her. Now, he doesn't cheat on his wife. I mean, there's a difference between cheating on your wife and not loving her. I mean, I have a respect for her and her family.
Wow. This is how do you get along with her mother?
Not very well.
Not very well.
Why is that?
Because she's particularly a bitch. Excuse my language, but...
So you've just called your mother-in-law a bitch.
Oh, my wife calls her that. They don't get along at all.
Well, that's terrific. Okay. Do you all live in the same double-wide?
No, we have a seven-bedroom house thing.
You have a seven-bedroom house?
Yes.
So you live in a mansion?
No, it's not a mansion.
Well, seven bedrooms is a hell of a lot of bedrooms.
Well, the basement wasn't finished when we bought it. We finished the basement ourselves.
What's the square footage?
Probably about 4,700.
It's a big house.
That's a big house. You got a cement pond?
No, we don't have we don't have a cement pond. The community we live in has a community swimming pool and tennis court.
A swimming hole? It's got a community swimming hole?
Yeah.
And you, so you're really, in all seriousness, you're just going on the fact that hopefully nobody's listening.
I hope, yeah, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just want to, I mean, I'm telling you guys thank you for telling me to stay in the relationship 8 months ago.
Because okay, you're glad you're married.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you now that you should leave.
You're telling me I should get out?
Yes, you should get out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's bad because, you know, one of these times, I think I know this, you don't believe in birth control, do you?
Me?
Yes.
I can't have children. I had a baseball accident when I was 19.
You had a baseball accident when you were 19?
Yeah.
You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, what was your...
I played shortstop for University of Georgia for 2 years.
Yeah.
And got drilled one day and broke my cup and was in the hospital for 3 months, and I'm sterile now.
So your balls were smashed?
Yeah, smashed very much so.
Must have hurt.
Oh, extremely.
Oh, come on now. This is where I just have gone from believing the guy to not believing the guy. And you had your balls smashed, so you're sterile.
Yeah, I'm sterile.
And you played baseball for the University of Georgia?
Yes.
Would you like to give us your real name?
My real name?
Yes.
Leonard Green.
Leonard Green. And you were a starting shortstop for the Georgia Bulldogs?
No, I played in 17 games in 4 years.
You know, Mike, for all we know, if we were to call the U of G...
They might have a Leonard
Green. They could have a Leonard Green. This guy could simply be taking the identity. And right now, I'd like to say, for the record, we don't know for sure that this is Mr. Leonard Green.
How can I prove it to you?
Well, there's really no way.
You know what you could do?
Yeah.
Off the air, you could give us the number of the car dealership,
okay.
And we could call the car dealership with you on the phone. You think your father-in-law's at work right now?
What time is it?
It's 6 o'clock.
No, he's not there right now. We can schedule a call for tomorrow.
No, I would like to handle this right now.
He's willing.
Would there be someone at the dealership now
that would be able to confirm your identity?
No one there at this moment, no.
Really? Why is that?
We close at 4:30.
That sounds like
I don't
shaky.
Believe that either.
I think we might be getting to the bottom.
We're
of
getting thing. Towards the yeah. sugary candy coated yeah. center of
this
line.
This is all just crap.
It's not crap.
Yes, it is.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. I'm going to do a commercial set, and you have to come up with somebody that we can call when we come back from break who can verify who you are.
Okay.
Stay there, Leonard Green, husband of Lisa.
Very interesting.
Man with brown penis. That just dances with wolf's name.
It just gets curiouser and curiouser.
Man with brown penis. Okay, we'll be right back.
They love the smell of Martke in the morning. Don and Mike.
Hope we have time for our Clinton Leo DiCaprio thing.
Oh, my God. Right.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes, the big chat.
If we don't get it on today, we'll get it on tomorrow. I want to get to the bottom of the thing with this neck calling us from Georgia.
Yeah, because it's just so good, we don't trust it.
I am so into this song by Leonard Kravitz.
He's a former guest of this program.
The highest guest we ever had on our show.
Absolutely.
I mean, he came in, he made no bones about the fact that he was high out of his mind.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Listen to this, it kicks in here. Right here, kicks ass. Lenny Kravitz. Like him.
Yeah. Sound of the City.
He kicks ass, man.
He's he's hung in there for a long time. He has always been there, you know what I mean? And he just lurks beneath the surface, and every now and then, there he is.
I belong to you.
It was an interesting interview, though, too, when he was going.
My mom was on the Jeffersons. You know, his mom was married to the White Devil.
Roxy Roker.
Right. That's a good song. I'm into Lenny Kravitz.
Good album.
Okay, let me turn that off. I can't concentrate listening to that. Leonard from Georgia. Now, we've gotten many calls from guys like this. Gene, who works for BMW. Hello, Gene.
Hey, Don Mike, what's up?
Hey, buddy.
How's it going? This guy, something in his story is not right. He said he got a 2000 BMW.
Yes.
They don't make a 325 anymore.
We've only had about 1,000 guys call today to say that BMW no longer makes.
Right. It's only 323s and 328s.
Well, you know, that's a hole in the story. You know, he said a 325i. I remember when he said that.
Take a shout out.
Hey, Leonard.
Yes.
Leonard, hold on, the guy from BMW just hung up. Leonard, we've had a lot of guys who know a lot about BMWs call to say that the model that you're saying that you're driving, BMW no longer makes.
325i.
Yeah, so they don't make a 2000 325i.
Who said this?
Many guys from across America who've called us.
Many guys across America are probably jealous because they don't have one.
You know, I really do think this is important. If he's sticking with this, we could save some time here.
And that's, get me some more guys who know about BMWs.
And it has to be easy. I mean, if they either make... So, Leonard, you're claiming they do make a 2000 325i.
Yes, they do.
Okay, hold on, Leonard.
Hold on a second. Well, this will be fast enough.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello, my friend, for you.
Pardon me?
Hello?
Hello, hola.
Hello.
Hola.
Oh, well, listen, maybe it's not going to be as easy as I thought.
It's our listeners, Don. It's not necessarily always going to be a picnic.
Hello, Brad.
Brad?
Hold on. Jim. Jim, buddy.
Yes, Don.
Jimbo.
Buddy.
Yes.
This guy, he said he got a brand new 2003 BMW.
Yes.
They stopped making those in 1995.
All right, thank you. Here is Mark calling from a BMW dealership in California. Mark.
Good.
He's full of jelly.
He's full of jelly?
Jelly between his ears.
Do you want to talk to him?
Jellified.
No, this guy, you don't work at a BMW dealership.
But there were a lot of guys that called, right?
There were tons of guys who called.
Now they're all hiding.
Hello, Derek.
Yes.
Derek, tell us about the car.
Well, if you go to BMWUSA.com, that'll show you all the model lines.
Well, why don't you just tell me? I don't have time to go to BMW.com.
Well, I'm not there now.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Hello, Russ.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Russ, do you know about this car?
I got a 99 BMW 323i. My other option was a 328. They don't make a 325.
Now, this is a guy that bought one.
All right,
let's find out from,
Hello, Matt.
Yes.
Hi.
What is Mike?
Yes, what do you know about BMW?
Why don't you just go on the BMW website?
No, we don't have the access to the website right now.
We don't have it.
And Wendell just informed me the computers for the entire company have crashed.
We could not even get on goddamn AOL today to check our mail.
Oh, that blows.
This place has the worst computers, but thank you. Thank you for your help.
All right. Bye.
Well, it's appearing to, shoot holes in young Leonard's story.
Although we've had no one to definitively yet tell us.
Yeah, somebody that's maybe at a dealership say, we don't make it, and then maybe get that guy on with Leonard.
Right.
And maybe pepper him with questions about the dealership.
But we've not had that call yet. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, this is Mike. I work at BMW.
But I guarantee you one thing. I guarantee you when we're off this topic,
yes,
that's when every goddamn BMW dealer in America will call us.
That's right. Come on, car people.
Yes, hello.
Yes, this is Mike. I work at BMW in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
They do not make a 325.
Hey, do you think you could ask Leonard questions?
No, I'm sorry. I don't trust this guy because of his accent.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry.
All right, very good.
I'm sorry. He sounds just like Leonard. Kevin, I need a Yankee.
I understand.
No Southerners, please. No Confederates. Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, look, I'm on the highway, but I can get over. I've got a manual in the back. I'm a registered locksmith, and it'll tell you whether they've got a 325i.
We've already established that. That's far too much trouble to go through.
Though. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi. I live in the BMW in Sacramento.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no 325.
All right,
Think he was lying?
Yes, we need somebody more reputable.
He was big time lying.
Right now. It still looks good for Leonard.
Yes, it does.
Thank you. Charlie Broyhill has actually just gotten us the Kelley Blue Book Used Car Values.
Mm-hmm.
Retail 2000 BMW.
Mm-hmm.
There is no 325i.
All right. Well, there it is.
There's the answer.
Leonard?
Yes.
I'm looking right now at retail for BMW.
Yes.
BMW.
The Black Book or the Kelley Blue Book?
Kelley Blue Book.
Okay.
KBB.com.
Yes.
And I see that they have the 323CI, the 323I, the 328CI, the 328I, 528I, 528IT, 540I, 540IT, 740I, 740IL, and 750IL.
There is no 325I.
It's in my driveway.
I don't know.
It's a four-door 325I.
Year 2000.
Yes.
Hold on, please.
Well, my wife bought a 740IL at the same time.
Hold on, please. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Don. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, calling from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the bio.
I work for a BMW dealership over here.
Yes.
Okay, you work for a BMW dealership.
Yes. Luke. BMW. Luke these nuts.
Oh, jeez.
Hi, Charlie.
I was wondering if you're thinking that Leonard maybe was sold a 2000 BMW 325i, and it really isn't.
I don't know. Bob?
Yes.
Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I did want to be on the air, but I got a 2000 Deuce in my driveway. I'm going to look out on the window.
You have a what, Bob?
A 2002. I brought it back from Germany when I left. They don't make that car.
Wait a minute. You're saying you have the 2002 model BMW?
Yes.
You mean they make 2002 cars? They make cars from a year that's...
They did in 1972. They don't make the car he's talking about.
Wait a minute. In 1972, you bought a 2002 car?
That's correct.
Time machine.
Pardon?
Wait a minute.
What is going on? Wait, I am so confused.
This is another drunk guy.
It's a model 2002. That's the model number of it.
That's the one I wrote back.
Like a 325, it's a 2002.
They don't make the car he's talking about.
We got to ask Leonard. You know, right, we have to ask Leonard specifically if he's talking about a 2000. Is it the model
year? Leonard, yes. Answer these questions now. Are you talking about the model or the year of the car?
The 2000?
Yes.
Yes.
It's the model number. They have a 2000. Okay, look. I know a lot about BMWs. I'm sorry.
All right, hold on. Let me just get to the bottom of this. Because Greg, do you own a BMW dealership?
This is Barbara Streisand.
Everybody, nobody's helping out.
I just want to say, when all you BMW guys call later in the show,
yeah.
F you.
Yeah,
I want to say F you because I know that you're going to call later.
I agree.
You're going to go, oh, Dynamite won't give me a free plug.
So he's saying it's a 2000. I thought he was talking about a month. When you talk about cars, you say, I got a 1999.
What is the year?
You know,
what's the year of your car then? Leonard.
Yes.
What's the year?
What year was it made?
Yes, that's
the
question.
1995 2000 BMW. It's like a 325i. They made a 2002.
All right, listen, Leonard, listen. Do you have anyone who can verify your identity? I asked you that before the last commercial break.
Who? I thought that's what the deal was. You went off on the whole excursion about the BMW.
Yes, the excursion. I could run circles around ye. Who did you come up with?
Kel Wilder.
And who is that? Is this someone at a business or is this a residence?
No, it's a person.
No, we need to call a business, someone reputable, because you could just give us the number of one of your inbred friends.
Oh, Lord. A reputable business. Okay.
Or you know what you could do? Give me the number of the BMW dealership that your father-in-law owns, because I'm sure...
No. I never said he owned a BMW dealership.
Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did, Leonard.
No.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
No.
You said that this...
Play the tape. You have the tape. Record everything.
Oh, you know something, Leonard? You're jerking us around.
Listen.
Leonard, you're jerking us around. And you know something? The 2000 BMW, that's jerking us around, too.
Right.
Are you ready for this?
Well, you ready for what?
Are you ready for it?
I'm going to tell you something, you son of a bitch. If you say something like these nuts,
I'm going to
star 69 and give your number out on the radio.
Oh, I can give your number out on the radio anyway.
Yeah, okay, Leonard. Well, we don't want you to do that because it's probably going to be somebody else's number.
Okay.
Listen, why don't you just give me the number of the BMW dealership in which your father-in-law somehow is involved? Because I'm sure that even if they're closed, they'll have an answering machine that says, hey, we're open from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m.
Okay, let me get a card. Hold on.
You don't get a card.
You don't know the number?
Why would I know the number?
You don't know the number of the place you work?
Mm-hmm. Hey, what were you saying? Get ready for this, Leonard. What did you mean by that? What were you going to say after that? Get ready for this.
Oh, the dealership, the people that you want to know the record of business, Paradise Bay, the tanning bed that my grandmother owns, the tanning salon that my grandmother owns.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
You said to tell you who I was.
All right, so you mean you'll give me the number of your grandmother?
She's not there. She doesn't run it. She's 76 years old, but there's a girl there that runs the tanning bed.
Yeah, you know what I'd like? I'd like your grandma's phone number.
My grandma?
Yeah, is your Nana still alive?
My grandma's alive, yes.
Yes, give me her number.
Okay, hold on.
That's good. Hold on, please. I would feel comfortable calling this guy's grandmother. That's a hard one to fake, to call up and act like your grandma.
Oh, why all of a sudden we're calling a tanning salon when...
Well, listen,
this was supposed to be a dealership.
No. He's giving us his Nana's tanning salon because that's a business that she owns.
Oh, all right.
So that we could call the business and they could verify.
I think that's what this idiot is saying.
I think so.
Hey, call him. Hey,
Don't call him right on the air. Call him first and then put him on the air.
Hello.
Humor me on this.
Hello, Charlie.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, buddy.
You could ask this guy what the, how big his, the engines are. He said his wife bought a car in a 740 and a 325.
Okay, I'd listen. You're losing me with that. You got the number, Rob?
Yeah.
All right, call it right now.
Okay.
Just give it a call. Just call and say you're...
Ask for what's the name he gave?
Anita. Ask for Anita.
Interesting.
Anita, man, to hug and kiss.
Like that.
It could happen.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anita tracked.
Hey there, hi there, ho there.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it's a BMW.
You know, it's been my experience that normally when you're dealing with people that own tanning salons, it's always very reputable.
Oh, now you're getting close to that again.
I know, I flirt with it. I flirt with it occasionally.
You're getting very close to it.
Sam, do you have a grandson named Leonard? You don't know anyone? Do you know anyone named Leonard who lives in Georgia? Would you care to go on our radio show and state that? Okay, hold on, please. You're going to go on the air.
All right, good.
All right, Rob's already asked her.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, hello. Is this Anita?
Pam Wilder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this Pam?
Yeah, it is.
Pam, hi. This is the Don and Mike radio show. Hi, this is the Don and Mike show. Listen, they already told you you're on the air.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a grandson named Leonard Green?
No, sir, I sure don't.
All right, let me put you on the phone with someone who claims to be your grandson. Hey, talk to this lady. She doesn't seem to know you, Leonard.
Pam! I don't know you, Leonard.
You don't know me?
I ain't your grandma.
You ain't my grandma.
No, I ain't.
Well, what are you to me, then?
I ain't no kin to you. I don't reckon I'm.
What kind of car do I drive?
What kind of car?
Yeah.
It's a purple Mercedes, ain't it?
It's a BMW.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, I know who you are.
Who knows?
I don't know what kind of illegal conspiracy
absolutely.
We have tumbled into here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you are smuggling moonshine.
Fascinating.
Or what the hell is going on.
But we're never going to figure this out.
No, we're not. So are you his grandmother, Pam?
No, I'm not.
Then, Leonard, why did you say this was your grandmother?
No, I said my grandmother lives there.
No, you didn't, Leonard.
Disqualified, Leonard, a man with a brown penis. Goodbye.
Goodbye forever, Leonard.
Don, I might.
Goodbye forever, Leonard.
Goodbye, Leonard. No.
Goodbye, Leonard's friend.
I should ask for Pam Wilder.
Goodbye, Leonard's friend.
Goodbye.
Come on now. You got to work with me.
No, I don't got to work with you.
Nope. No,
sure don't.
You blew it, Leonard.
The whole thing is legit.
Yeah, right.
That's right, Leonard.
It's 100% legit. Right.
What can I do to prove it? We've called people.
No, you blew it, Leonard. No. You blew it. You had your opportunity and you blew it.
No, Leonard, you're lying.
You're a liar.
Any question.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
All right, I ask you this question. Why did you call us and lie today?
Because I want to make the Don and Mike show the time when y'all play the show when you're not there.
The best of?
You wanted the best to be, of. Will this make it?
I believe that may have been our first honest answer.
Will
it
make it?
No.
No, Leonard.
And Donna Mike.
Yes.
I am a redneck. I live in Georgia. And I thought it was a pretty good story.
Right. All right.
All right. Goodbye, Leonard.
Jesus Christ, hey. You friggin' inbred. God damn, come out of your mama's ass. Jesus Christ, child of feces. God damn it, I swear to God, I hate that when those hillbillies try to pull that crap on us.
That is a wonderful new movie, though. Look for that coming out soon. Child of feces.
Child of feces. I just wanted to get on the tape, you know, when you guys aren't there.
Hi there.
Yeah.
How are you?
All of that, Christ.
Wow.
Christ, if I didn't have to go to New York tonight, I'd drive to Georgia tomorrow.
I'd kill you, Mr. Feces. We did get out of that what I think is the phrase of the day, which was, I ain't no kin to you, I reckon. That's my favorite.
I ain't no kin to you, I reckon. And I'm not going to run around in circles for ye. Buzz, we do have time for news and comment.
All right.
What is your lead? We're going to wait on this Clinton DiCaprio thing for tomorrow,
okay?
What is your lead story on the second part of the news and the comments?
As we continue, they're going to make us wait even longer for the next Sopranos.
All right. Man. That was bad news.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very...
Child of Feces Professional.
This is the Don and Mike Executive Directors of the Group Home.
Right.
Don and Mike.
Tomorrow on Thursday, we're doing the show from New York from our second home station, WNEW-FM.
Hello, NYC.
We'll tell you lots of our adventures tomorrow. We'll hear them tomorrow on the show. What am I saying? Just until tomorrow. Now here's Buzz.
We may have to wait longer than 9 months for the new episodes of The Sopranos.
Chris, you realize that you could knock up a girl and have the baby before you're going to see a new Sopranos.
This is getting a little silly, I think, really. The New York Daily News says there's talk the third season won't start until March or April next year.
It's a TV series.
Right.
You know, it's not a movie. It's a TV series. 13 one-hour episodes. Thank you. Thank you for flip-flopping and joining me here on the real side of the argument.
I'm sorry. That's irritating. Normally, the show starts filming new episodes in July, and they start airing in mid-January. An executive producer says the writers will start working again next month on writing the new episodes. If it's any consolation, HBO is expected to run all of the first two seasons' episodes over the summer, and then again just before the third season starts.
Gee, thanks.
Yeah.
So let me get this right. So the actors go back to work in July, is that right?
They used to. It depends on when they get the scripts done this year, I guess.
So it's all the writers.
That's what we're waiting on now, and they don't go back to work until next month.
See, that's a tough show to write. That's a real hard show to write. Tony kills a guy. Tony feels bad. Tony screws the Russian girl. Tony argues with his wife. Tony's mom tries to kill him. Junior has got that thing on his leg. Christ, give me a piece of paper. I'll write a script right now. How tough is this? Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is looking for paper right now. He is looking for paper. He is taking
pen.
Sharpie. He will be writing his script in a Sharpie.
Tony.
This episode is entitled Child of Feces.
Tonight's episode. Farm.
Here we go. He's got an idea. All right, very good. And he's going to deliver that script in under 2 minutes.
Hold on.
Just to show that it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
He's good that way. This is not even on a computer.
And wait a minute, hold on. And then,
oh, a twist. All right, a plot development.
Don't write Big Pussy in there because he's,
he's gone now.
All right.
Very good.
There you go. Here's your outline for the first episode. Are you listening to me, Sopranos writers? Scene starts, Tony bangs Russian girlfriend.
All right.
Carm, this is just a plot line for the first episode of the new season.
Okay.
Carm, ovarian cancer scare.
Okay, wow.
AJ, hemorrhoids. And then you end the first episode of the new season. Russian girl tells Tony she's knocked up.
Ah, okay.
Thank you. Very good. Fill in the blanks.
Excellent. You're off and running.
Fill in the blanks.
You get up there. You get up there
I'm just giving you the first plot of the first episode.
All right, I'll write the rest.
You've just proven how easy it is.
I'll write the dialogue.
Right.
What's the matter with you? You're pregnant?
What?
Tony. I love you, Tony.
This is why I never should have gotten involved with you. I should have never gotten involved with you. I'm feeling sick. I'm going to get sick. I'm dreaming about the fish. I'm doing
Tony. You got pregnant. You pregnant. Your son has hemorrhoids, Tony.
Oh, stop talking about food.
Your wife might have ovarian cancer.
Stop talking about food.
Stop talking about food. It was an Indian restaurant.
The guy who shot President Reagan may soon get to leave the hospital without supervision.
No, it wasn't Rob.
One day a week, no supervision. Officials at St. Elizabeth's Hospital are recommending he get out that one day a week because they say, and I quote, he has sufficiently recovered from his mental illness.
I can't. What's wrong with the world?
They say he doesn't even need his medication anymore.
Yes, he does.
Now, 44 years old, Hinckley has been locked up there for 18 years.
That's not long enough.
He was found not guilty by reason of insanity over the shooting of Reagan and three other people. The U.S. Attorney's Office and one of Reagan's daughters are fighting the hospital's recommendation.
Right, let me talk to somebody from St. Hinckley's. Do you think that
St. Elizabeth. Someday they'll call it
St. Hinckley's. That's St. Hinckley's. Do you think that Hinckley is reformed?
Yep.
Do you think he is in his right mind?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to society knowing that Hinckley would be back on the streets?
What's up, guys?
It's totally not making sense, just as I thought.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been J.O.'d by a woman in Springfield, Virginia?
Yep.
Thank you.
That's Headmaster Tom Gavin.
Thank you.
Good news for air travelers headed for the nation's capital. Radar at Reagan National Airport is back online today. After a couple of power failures yesterday, that problem forced the government to use backup equipment. Some flights into and out of the airport were canceled because of that yesterday. Maybe Linda McCartney's first husband didn't commit suicide after all. Maybe he was murdered.
Maybe he ate her food.
Better known as JoJo from the Beatles song Get Back, 62-year-old Joseph Melville Steve Jr. I set that off, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Linda McCartney.
I'm sorry.
Get back, JoJo.
The late Linda McCartney.
Hello, Paul. It's me, the girl with one and a half legs.
Hello, Linda. I mean, hello, new lady.
This is your wife.
How many times have I told you to stop playing this? Don't play this song anymore. You know it depresses me.
God, did you ever eat that food in the grocery, in the market that she has?
Yes, it made me bloody sick, like Tony Soprano.
Vegetarian food.
Vegetarian.
Take me leg off.
Oh, I love that. That's a lot. Now stop playing this song. I'll hit you over the head with the leg.
Joseph Melville C. Jr. was found dead in his Tucson, Arizona home a month ago. He had been shot once in the head. The gun was found nearby, and with a note and all, it looked like suicide, but detectives are keeping open the possibility of murder. Quoting one deputy, this is still very much an open case. Even the medical examiner there is holding off on a cause of death ruling. C. reportedly had a rocky relationship with his longtime live-in girlfriend.
There she is. Get back, JoJo. We have to do a break here, all right? Hold on a second. Do you want to talk to Leonard again? What?
Hello?
What, Leonard?
Dynamite.
You had your fun.
Let me tell the truth. The truth.
No, you're not capable. You're not capable of telling the truth.
This is the truth. I swear to God.
You're addicted to being on the radio.
Just one second. I'm 26 years old.
What, BM boy?
I live in my home with my mother. I love the show.
Thank you.
I had to come up with something to get on there. My personality now is nothing. I'm a nobody.
And you right. never graduated college.
Oh, I did go to college, didn't graduate.
Of course.
Right, of course not.
I worked at a rock quarry.
Pardon me, you work in a rock quarry?
Yes, Elberton, Georgia. It's the granite capital of the world. That's all there is here is granite.
Now I believe that.
Here's what I have to know. Are you, in fact, sterile?
No.
Damn.
Yeah, because, of course, you never went to the University of Georgia.
No, I went to the University of Athens Tech.
And the bad news is, with a guy like this, with his sperm, he'll be like Johnny Appleson.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, every girl he sees, he'll knock her up.
I had to do something, man.
Well, you know, I kind of enjoy this purging, even though I don't trust it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Goodbye forever, Leonard.
No, goodbye, Leonard.
I can never call back?
No.
Oh, let me be part of you.
No. You can't be part of us.
Let me have some sense of life, sense of meaning.
No, you have no sense of life. You are a child of feces. I've already told you that.
That's my new nickname?
Yes.
Can I call back?
No. Goodbye, Leonard.
Bye, Leonard.
Oh, come on.
Goodbye.
Bye, Leonard. Go see Mr. Slate.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
He's the Dawn. In fact, Paul Wells says we need to speed up the execution rate by speeding up the appeals process. Falwell admits the courts sometimes condemn the wrong guy to death, but he says it's not enough of a problem to stop the executing.
And then he continued to eat.
Here's Pat Robertson.
Well, those are quality guests.
Huh.
Well, it's Pat Robertson.
Really?
Zippy chance.
Is he talking about the death penalty?
I don't know. Pat Robertson.
Didn't have time. Found out this morning.
I guess he just made his mind up then.
Keep grilling me. I definitely found it.
He's found
what? The death penalty?
Theory? What is it?
I took the circuitous route, but I found it.
Yeah. Okay, so he's talking about... I think I know.
He's talking about the death penalty, right?
And he found his conscience, I guess, is what he's talking about.
Oh.
Is he all right?
Oh, no.
Pat Robertson.
Oh! I know.
Religious leader, Pat Robertson.
Whatever. David Haynes voted for him for president.
That's for sure.
He's the schoolyard bully.
Okay, he's talking about Jerry Falwell now.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Who cares?
All right. Well, I thought you did care. I thought you had very deep convictions.
She does have a nicer act, though. I'll give that to her.
Whoa!
What's he talking about? Who's that, Mrs. Falwell? You're talking about Jerry Falwell himself.
He might be calling Jerry Falwell a woman and saying he has breasts.
If there were no Matt Damon, no Ben Affleck.
That's deep, man.
I don't know what he's talking about.
That's deep. That's from some modern Bible spiritual.
Oh, what could it be?
I don't know.
Could it be the lay of the land?
It's the lay of the land, my friend.
There you go.
There it is.
One of the people on a jury in Indiana will stay on that death penalty case, even though she drew a hangman's gallows during a break in the deliberations.
That's funny.
The defense lawyers say she also drew a picture of an electric chair. The judge talked to the lady.
Is her name Bobby Hollingsworth?
I don't have her name here. Could be. The judge talked to the lady and decided she did nothing that would justify her removal. The artwork appeared after the jury convicted a man in the killing of a convenience store.
Guilty! Miss Bobby, I would hate to be up for shoplifting if she was a member of the jury.
Put him in the chair!
Take his hand off. Kill him. Kill him now.
Hack it off.
Kill him now.
And from our Just In Case You Care department, the boys who made up the 80s band Twisted Sister are voting for Al Gore for president, even though Al's wife gave him a lot of grief back in 85. That was when Tipper Gore used that band as Exhibit A on what was wrong with popular music.
Don't underestimate the significance of that. I think that's pretty significant. I remember a lot of people still hate Tipper because of that.
Yes, but who does Quiet Riot want?
That's the question.
in this next. And what about the boys in Poison?
Mm-hmm.
Good question.
And what about Warren?
Hey, we're Warren!
Wake up!
Well, it was Tipper's campaign.
What about Slaughter?
Yes, again, a good question, Slaughter.
Oh, the great hairband.
Tipper's campaign led...
April Wine.
You got them all.
Parental warning labels came out of that about graphic content. Now, Twisted Sister
Nelson. Remember Ricky Nelson's twin son?
Oh, sure, we met them.
With the long, blonde manes of hair.
Remember we went to the DJ convention and they were walking around? It was real hard to see, too. You know, two big blonde
mops. Like friggin' Siegfried and Roy.
Twisted Sister lead Dee Snider wound up testifying for Congress about all this back then, along with the late Frank Zappa. Now, quoting Dee today,
Dee,
it's bizarre. I don't trust the guy as far as I can throw him. He's a conservative liberal, but I think he's going to chew up George W. and spit him out. End quote.
Dee's nuts.
No. Hey, Buzz, what do you call a nun in a blunder?
I don't know.
Twisted Sister.
Nah!
Thank you. Science marches on. The company that invented the miracle bra for Victoria's Secret now says it has a new bra that works even better without the padding.
Knock yourselves out, ladies.
Nothing But Curves bra goes on sale this summer with the slogan, why torture yourself in their push-up bra when you could be torturing guys in ours?
Buzz, we must do this now. I apologize.
No problem.
Don't get mad at me.
No.
Get mad at the popularity of this show.
The man.
We're not mad at you, Buzz. We're mad at the dirt.
We'll be right back.
This is the Dawn. Do you mean they broadcast from Monday till Friday?
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Buzzito.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, I'm sure Rob knew this, but I didn't. One of the several TV sitcoms starring Lucille Ball was produced by Aaron Spelling.
Yeah, Life with Lucy.
There you go. That's the one. And now Spelling is donating that series to the Lucy Desi Museum.
Oh, that's very sweet of him. Aaron, thank you so much. How are you, incidentally?
I am the love boat.
Oh, still arrogant.
I am Dynasty.
You're a very powerful man.
This is Aaron Spelling.
How is your daughter Tori doing, Aaron? It's good to see her on TV.
She just got new boobs.
Oh, fantastic. Did you pay for them, Daddy?
Of course I did. They're hard as rocks.
Oh, come on. Who are you?
I'm Aaron Spelling. I am the love boat. I am Melrose. I am 90210.
Are you hotel?
I am hotel.
Also
with
like...
my gigantic cowboy hat and my Cadillac with the big bull steers coming out of the front of it.
That's right, Aaron. We know you were born and raised in Texas, and that's why you speak with that thick Texas accent.
I'm Aaron Spelling, the name that opens any door in Hollywood. You know it?
True.
We've done it many times on the show.
Yes, we have, Mr. Spelling.
Hello, it's Aaron Spelling on the line.
Aaron Spelling is also Life with Lucy.
I am Life with Lucy.
It was her last show, and it did not do all that well.
I said, ball!
In fact...
Hey, where's ball?
Get me ball.
Tell her it's Aaron Spelling.
Did you kill her? I mean, that was her last series. Did you work her to death?
I said, ball! That ain't gonna work out, baby.
In fact, 5 episodes of the 1986 show were never even aired, but they're headed for the museum anyway.
I said, hey, ball! 2 words. D's nuts! You're out of here!
Well, a lot of people don't know Aaron Spelling coined that term.
Spelling first
medal. Goddamn walking cancer ward. So get away from me. I'm sick when you're around me. You taste like an ashtray.
The powerful producer first met Lucy in 1955.
Wow.
When he appeared in an episode of the original I Love Lucy.
Aaron Spelling.
Celebrity chef Johnny Chow is out with a new cookbook.
Hi-oh!
In it, he explains why he would rather cook for Michael Jackson than Marlon Brando.
Wow.
It was apparently Chow's job to keep Brando on his diet, but Chow says while he was home making cabbage salad, Brando was out at a restaurant eating fried mozzarella cheese. And Chow says that when he scolded Brando about this, Brando grabbed his cheek and twisted it. Chow says Michael Jackson was much easier to work for, much easier to cook for.
Of course, you only had to go to bed with him.
He says Jackson's only quirk was demanding that the dishes be given names like psychedelic swordfish and Peter Pan pizza.
How weird was that?
Funny.
Where's my penis pizza?
I want my penis pizza. I want my psychedelic swordfish.
Michael, I have for you scrotum spinach.
I want that to be called psychedelic spinach, please. I want that to be called phallus fettuccine. That's very, very good.
There are nicotine fits, and then there are nicotine fits. When a man went in to see a baptism at the Mormon church in Powell, Wyoming yesterday.
Where's my sodomy sorbet?
Right here, Michael.
Oh, very good.
At the baptism, the man lighted a cigarette and was promptly asked to leave the church.
This is not the best rectal rigatoni I've ever had.
I have for you testicle tempura.
That's delicious. Thanks for naming my food. And I want to eat with the big Pee Wee Herman utensil. Shamon.
Well, this man in Wyoming, in church, smoking, didn't take it well when he was asked to step outside, so he got into his pickup and drove through the front doors of the church.
Was his name Wendell Hall?
Two sets of double doors. I don't have the name. The truck finally stopped at the back of the sanctuary. No one got hurt. The man was, of course, arrested.
Michael, I have for you your favorite, Jizz Jello.
Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Chow. Mr. Chow. Chow is my chef. Chow is my chef.
Semen soup.
Ooh, Jizz Jello.
One more buzz.
The Humane Society in Charlotte, North Carolina had a problem, and the problem's name is Flounder. This flounder, unlike the one in Animal House, is a parrot, a foul-mouthed parrot. A parrot who knows every conceivable profanity and vulgarity, thanks to the college students who used to own him. A spokesman for the animal shelter says he worried that if they adopted the parrot out to new owners, the new owners would tell people they got the foul-mouthed parrot from the Humane Society. So the animal officials decided it was just easier to keep the parrot. Quoting the spokesman, the bird makes us laugh, and we don't get many laughs, so we're keeping him.
Can I have 10,000 marbles, please?
Yeah, there's a real flounder.
This is really effing great.
And we thank you, Buzz Toe Tapping Touch Tones. One last time today, be the 100th caller. Be assertive.
Yeah.
Prize package selected especially for you, etc., and a shot at your rent or mortgage being paid. Be the 100th person to call Toya or Beth right now. Phone number 1-877-365-3636. Well, you look like you had something.
No, I didn't.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's big, baby, it's big. The Don and Mike Show on Hot Talk. 1370 KSH.
And this weekend, it's the Redskins NFL Draft. And I'll be at FedEx Field Sunday, take that back, Saturday.
Saturday?
Saturday is the draft day. Larry and I will be doing a special draft show from 11 till 2.
Larry who?
Larry Michael.
Larry Michael.
Redskins draft choices will be flown directly to FedEx Field from New York. Once the final draft picks are announced, the players get the autographs. We'll all be on the Jumbotron and the final auditions for the year 2000 Redskinettes.
So they will fly the top draft choices right into the stadium.
Right, on Danny's helicopter.
And then will you be interviewing the draft choices shortly thereafter?
Immediately.
Very cool.
Wow. Immediately.
Very cool.
Thanks to
Danny.
Thanks to Danny Snyder.
Danny's
copter.
Yep, it's Danny's copter.
Very good.
All of this at FedEx Field. Doors open at 11 a.m. See you there on Saturday.
Say hi to Larry for me.
For our NFL draft show.
Mm-hmm.
I always do. Hi, Buzz.
In sports, the Washington Redskins have signed free agent veteran Jeff George as their backup quarterback.
I see him and I say, hey, Larry. Mike says,
hi, Larry!
It's a 4-year deal worth $18.25 million. George was not re-signed by Minnesota after a 9-3 record as a starter last season. The 32-year-old was the first pick in the draft 10 years ago, and he's played with Indianapolis, Atlanta, and Oakland as well.
And now that he's here in Washington, I can give him his new nickname.
Yes?
We should call him Boy.
Boy George.
Or Phyllis. Or Curious. King of the Georges.
You're 2-0 today. Redskins owner Dan Snyder, by the way, still talking about going after Deion Sanders. And the Skins have the 3rd and 4th picks in the first round of this weekend's NFL draft.
Sit down, Danny.
There's an NFL trade in the making that, if it goes through, could have a big impact on this weekend's draft.
Are you talking about the Keyshawn trade?
The Jets and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the verge of a trade that would send star receiver Keyshawn Johnson to Florida.
Oh, boy.
Johnson was the number one pick in the 96 draft. He's a 2-time Pro Bowler, and the Jets say they don't have the salary cap room to keep him. The Jets are expected to get a wide receiver and a couple of first-round draft choices, which would give them 4 first-round picks this weekend.
That sucks for the Jets, though. He's like the only good guy the Jets have.
Mm-hmm. And there's talk that the Jets would trade 3 of those picks to Cleveland to get a number one pick instead. A little tricky.
Right.
It's shaping up to be really one of the most interesting drafts ever.
Sure. And finally, homosexuality is taboo in Turkey, but they have this ages-old tradition worth noting.
That's why I'm moving to Turkey. As soon as the show is over.
I didn't know you felt that strongly about it.
I do, Mike. You know that.
Very well.
Let's not hide it anymore.
I understand. Yeah, well, we don't hide that anymore, and we don't hide your patriotism.
All my stories are true, and this is no exception. Muscular men in leather pants coat themselves with olive oil and wrestle, trying to pin their opponents to the mat in Turkey. It's an annual tradition.
In Turkey? I thought they didn't like homos.
They don't. This is a manly tradition in Turkey.
Right. Yeah, sure it is, Buzz.
And since it started back in the Middle Ages, a common tactic has been putting a hand down the other guy's pants to get a better grip.
And I'm going to cancel my plans to go to Turkey, Buzz.
Oh, come on, you'd enjoy that.
And all this time, nobody said anything about it, until now. Now that a gay group is sponsoring a trip to watch the wrestling this July, a Turkish Sports Federation official is quoted as saying that the trip is immoral and should be stopped. So the wrestling's okay, but the trip to see it is immoral. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
What are you doing right there?
What am I doing?
You're making a statement.
I like to do that.
I'll figure out what it is.
Actually, we're done. Done.
And not a moment too soon.
We gotta catch the next show.
Goodbye, Turkey. My attorney will be in touch. Sorry, we're
out of time. See, what he's doing there is he's preaching.
He is a preachy guy, and if you're not paying attention, you'll miss it.
His slant on the news.
Yes, right. Very
Hello, tired. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I am caller 100.
Yeah. Good night. Good night. What a car phone that is. What a crappy connection.
Oh, man, that's horrible. Awful.
Say something else.
You guys are the most awesomest guys in the whole world. You guys are the best.
We're the most awesomest. We're the most awesomest.
I'm just trying to gauge how good your phone was. Listen, what's your name?
Brian.
Brian, where are you from?
Springfield.
Brian, you want KFC chicken from Kentucky Fried Chicken. Try KFC's original recipe sandwich. But wait, there's more. You qualify for Friday's weekly giveaway. Friday, we're giving away a portable DVD player, courtesy DVDExpress.com. DVDExpress.com is the best places to go for new releases. The best place to go for new releases. Visit DVDExpress.com and take Hollywood home. Tonight. But wait, there's more. You've also qualified to have us pay your rent or mortgage on Friday, April 28th. How much do you pay every month?
$880.
I think he said 88 something.
I believe it was
$880.
Okay, whatever. If you win, we'll pay it. Please make sure you're listening to the Free Money Show on Friday, April 28th. That's it. Got to go. Got to catch the shuttle. Tomorrow, Thursday, both days live from New York, we'll tell you everything that happened.
Wonderful.
Should be exciting. And tomorrow, I think, Greg Brady on the show.
Very good.
I think so. See you in New York tomorrow. Yeah. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you, and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Sid.
Yes, Sid.
Throw your Santa Claus hat in the air just like Sid. Tyler Moore. You might just make it
wrong. Oh! Didn't even have to move.
Very nice.
Very nice, boys.
Thank you, Don.
See you on the airplane.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
So we'll meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.